listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
It's like tank top, flip flop, naughty dreadlock, fuck a cop, hip hop, make your head bop, bounce to this, socialist movement, my environment made me the nigga I am. Uncle Sam came and got me and the rest of my fam, try to infiltrate and murder off the best of my clan. I'm not American, punk, Democrat, or Republican. Remember that, most of these cats we know be hustling. My mama worked all her life and still struggling. I blame it on the government, say it on the radio. What? And if you don't already know, all these Uncle Tom ass kicking niggas gotta go. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So, all right, end of the week Wednesday. All right, all kinds of stuff to talk about today, but first we gotta talk about the sponsors and stuff. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, leave us a 5-star review, just search the Black Guy Who Tips and leave us a review. Let us know, you know, what you think about the show, and we'll read it on the air as long as it's nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is sponsored. It's actually double sponsored. It's brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Of course, you can find our audio play albums on Spotify, on Tidal, on Apple Music, on wherever you get your music from. We have two audio play albums. One is called The Best of Rod and Karen. The other is called Sunspot and Other Ratchetness. We appreciate everybody takes time out to get those, listen to them, review them, let us know what they think about them. It's a lot of funny voices and impressions and all kinds of stuff on there.
Yes.
I think you guys will enjoy it. Also, we're brought to you by Loot Crate, okay? Loot Crate is a box for nerds, okay? It's a box of goodies that comes in the mail, and every month you get it as long as you sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. You can get that box. And this month the theme is robotic, and we'll get into the breakdown of that later, but every month something comes cool and we're gonna open up a box later on in the show for you guys to understand that Loot Crate is where it's at, man. Okay, you're gonna be the envy of all your friends and family and stuff, and I love opening up my Loot Crate box, man. If it wasn't for the podcast, I'd open it up as soon as we get in the mail, but because of the podcast, I have to wait till it's time to do the read. But I really be wanting to open it up, but I don't ever want to fake it on the air like I didn't see it already, so that's how real I keep it with y'all, how much we love our audience. lootcrate.com/tbgwt is where you can go to get your Loot Crate box, and you can put in code TBGWT and get $3 off of each box. So make sure you guys do that. Any new subscription, $3 off, just go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and put in code TBGWT. Also, don't forget, man, we still got the store. teespring.com/stores/TBGWT-store. I don't know if that's the easiest way to find it. Actually, the easiest way to find it would be going to the blackouttips.com. Look on the right hand side and it says like go to our store. You can just click right there and it'll take you to our store, man. It's a cool store. We got a bunch of items. People are starting to get theirs. People are taking pictures with the mugs and
yes,
the shirts.
They look so good.
Like I shouldn't be, because I bought stuff from Teespring before and I've seen the art before, but it looks so good, y'all.
Right, it looked better than I thought. Like once you actually see it on mugs, you be like, that shit look good.
Yeah, it looks so good, because it's amazing. So, you know, mm-hmm. We've already seen a couple of mugs and stuff, and I'm just like, wow, I might have to get my own shit.
That's what I was saying.
I might have to be that person that's too cool, you know. So yeah, I think I'm gonna have to do that.
Yeah,
so.
And also we switched over too because we know that people come in all sizes. So Teespring goes up to 5X because we know everybody can't get in no 1, 2s, and 3Xs. So we want to be sure that everybody, regardless of your size, can wear our shit.
Right. So all kinds of stuff to talk about. Try to keep it funny, try to keep it light, but we still got some serious things to talk about as well. So today I will be drinking. A fan got us this spill proof unbreakable
like them cups.
Wine glass. We're gonna test it today.
See what it can do.
This one says I need therapy. at the top, and then as you drink more wine, it says better than therapy. At the end, it says cheaper than therapy. So we're gonna go through it. We got a whole set of these, and we'll talk about all the stuff we got throughout the week on Saturday. Anyway, a cop pleads guilty to using a sex toy on a woman during a traffic stop, and this happened in Cleveland, the same department that is angry and boycotting Cleveland Browns NFL games because some of the Cleveland Browns took a knee during a preseason game instead of standing for the anthem. So the cops, who literally do hold the flag at the games, said they not holding the flags no more, which is also them doing a protest during the anthem. I mean, come on guys, think about what you're saying. But it sounds like they need to clean up their own house, because you got police officers out here using sex toys on two different women during an illegal traffic stop. East Cleveland officer Kenneth Bolton pleaded guilty to charges including gross sexual imposition, as well as misdemeanor interfering with civil rights, in a plea deal that allowed a kidnapping charge to be dropped. Bolton pulled over two women, 22 and 23, after hearing about another officer citing them over the radio 30 minutes before he pulled them over. While the women were seated in the vehicle, he used a sex toy to rub their genitals over their clothing. He was fired 2 weeks later after an internal investigation was launched over the incident, and he will now have to register as a sex offender. He will also no longer be able to serve as a police officer. I don't think I read anything about him going to jail. No longer being served. Okay, registered sex. Yeah, so it sounds like he's not even getting jail time. But yeah, they more worried about, you know, here's the thing also I want to note about a lot of these police protests with Kaepernick and Michael Bennett and all these guys. Black people are the canary in the coal mine on this shit. Now, I don't know the race of these two women. They may have been black as well, but and that's just another type of violence that the police can use when in their overuse of force, right? It's just another way that they often go over the line. But here's the thing, we're the canary in the coal mine on this shit, because when they shoot some white woman in Minnesota and people get all I can't believe the system is working this way, that's the point. It's not just us. We might be first in line to get fucked with, but
come on.
You know, at the end of the day, they don't care about anybody else. Like, the point is to preserve the power that the police possess over the American public. They just happen to be yielding it more often than not against the most marginalized people in society because they have the least protection. But believe you me, every resource that is available to a police officer to abuse a black or a brown person is still available when it comes to anyone else. So they can just as easily railroad some white person if they feel like it. If a police officer decides it's your word against his, and his word is fuck you, you know, all that faith we put in the system, that's all that is based on. So, you know, it's funny because I can't help but see the parallel between these motherfuckers more mad at Kaepernick than one of their own. You know, like, y'all more mad at Browns players for being like, hey man, police are not always on the up and up, and then y'all have police literally on the up and up, not on the up and up. Like, where's the outrage coming from, dog? I don't understand. And he's not even getting any time, because we look at the idea of just getting the job of police officer as noble. It's like being a knight as far as people are concerned. Like, it's such an honorable thing. Mm-hmm. Even when they fuck up, we can't put a police officer in jail. And it's like, what, well, if you're the biggest thug on the block, I don't care if you got a badge or not, go to jail. So yeah, I find that quite interesting, because so many of these cases, even when they're proven guilty, end up with somebody basically saying, yeah, they're guilty of this shit, but at the same time, we don't want to piss anybody off, so let's just not do anything about it. Let's just pretend that nothing's happening. Let's see. Speaking of overstepping your authority, did you know the TSA apparently out here hazing motherfuckers?
TSA,
the goddamn TSA. This isn't hazing, this assault. Three whistleblowers say gangs of Newark Airport customs officers oh, I guess maybe customs is different than TSA, abused new recruits on a quote-unquote rape table and pulled a gun on a woman who had been taped to a chair. Three whistleblowers have come forward to talk about this. Customs officers at Newark Airport are being investigated by the Department of Homeland Security amid accusations that they sexually assaulted rookies on a rape table in a horrifying hazing ritual. Hazing. I applied for a job. What part of hazing is a job? You know what I'm saying? Hazing always comes out weird to me anyway, because like even when they do it for like NFL or sports, it's always like, why don't play football? What the fuck is the point of this?
Don't do that shit. Don't put your hands on me. Don't you motherfucking touch me. Tell me the rules. I follow your rules. You don't have no authority over me and my body. I showed up to work. I did not show up to get sexually assaulted. I did not. This shit right here was not in the goddamn handbook. And so it's just one. And people act like you are the problem from going, I'm not going to. Didn't one of the NFL players say, I'm not going along with that bullshit? And everybody and folks got mad. But no, fuck you. I'm a millionaire. You're not hazing me.
Yeah, that's super. It's super weird, the shit that they do in the first place. But you would think in a job like this, it wouldn't happen. But apparently it does. And it's funny because you can throw a lot under that hazing thing, because hazing is making somebody pay for the lunch of everybody else. Ha ha ha. But it could also be sticking an object up your ass. I don't know, man. One of those scenes way worse than the other. Right. Maybe don't call one of them hazing. The shock claims came to light after three whistleblowers spoke up and said they had been subjected to abuse despite fears of recrimination. They called the table the rape table, and they called this act raping. Customs Act Border Protection Officer Vito Digaronimo told NBC New York, hazing wouldn't do this justice. This is a complete assault. They take you in a room and your fellow officers are watching as officers grab you. The alleged assaults have been taking place for years, officers said, and come at the hands of a specific gang of customs staff. DiGeronimo said that clothing was never removed, but called it a sexual attack, saying the officers did rub their genitals on the victims. Once the lights go out, they grab you up like a gang. They forcibly throw you on the table. One officer ended up mounting me and pretty much riding me like a horse. I'm grabbed by other officers against my will. I don't know how much more criminal you can get. I'm afraid for my life and my safety, said Diana Cifuentes. This is terrorizing. How is it that officers believe they're free to do whatever they want to do? A badge. Cifuentes,
any type of badge. Don't even got to be a police officer.
Cifuentes managed to escape being pulled up to the table, but suffered another equally terrifying experience at the hands of the gang. There was a back and forth between another officer and myself. He said, you deserve to be put on the rape table. And that's when he started chasing me. Eventually, I was held down by another officer. One additional officer taped me with green customs tape to the chair. That escalated to the point where one of the officers pulled his gun on her, she said. I was very afraid for my life. I took a deep breath and kept on typing like nothing was happening. I know that if I reacted, either he was going to pull the trigger or I was going to draw the weapon myself and shoot. The third officer, Dan Arasibia, said that he escaped the alleged abuse, but that he is still haunted by the theme song that the alleged perpetrators played during their supposed assaults, Party Boy from the TV show Jackass. They're monsters in a sense, he said. They know that we can't do anything about this. DiGeronimo agreed, saying that an attempt to go through official channels achieved virtually nothing. People are too scared to go anywhere because these guys are well connected. Our immediate supervisors are best friends with these officers. The repercussions were that they removed the rape table. There was no punishment for the officers involved. Now the three have revealed their claim to the wider world, hiring Patrick Metz, an attorney who specializes in whistleblowing. For this to stop, we have to go to the public, Cifuente said.
Right.
We have to let people know that this is going on. We have to let other branches of the government know that this is going on. Yeah, with the pussy grabber in chief at the top, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the problem. You got somebody at top that don't give a fuck about it, and basically telling them what they're doing is all right.
Yeah, it's wild what can go on in just any group. You give somebody some authority, next thing you know, we in here raping people. Ha ha ha! Isn't that hilarious?
It's the group mentality, and that's why it's hard, particularly particularly when it comes to men, because I'm assuming a lot of men do this. You know, I'm not saying that you ain't have a gang of women that were doing it, but odds are it was a bunch of dicks that were doing this shit, because that's the type of shit that men do. And I guarantee you, somebody somewhere knew there was a quote unquote good guy that kept his motherfucking mouth shut, didn't say shit, let them do that, didn't speak up for this, for these women, known this shit was going on, but you a motherfucking good guy, right? You a good guy, you, yeah, you. You don't say shit, you don't speak up, you a good guy. When I say, hey dog, men ain't shit, all of a sudden I gotta hit your mouth.
By the way, all of the people that were victimized or that were whistleblowers, I think two were men, one was a woman, I think. So yeah, this is kind of interesting.
Yeah, not to say that women weren't involved in the sexual assault, I'm not saying that, but to begin, and do you, most of them were probably men.
Yeah. But what I was gonna say even further than that, I think it's a power and authority abuse issue too, because what happens, there may be women who are involved in this shit, but it's the go along to get along thing. It's why we can't truly say there's diversity in anything just because you have women there or people of color there. It's not diversity until their ideas are appreciated. Then you have diversity. When you have a diversity of thought, when you have a diversity of experience, and people have equal footing on which to say their ideas. Like, it's different when you say, well, we got women that were in the room grabbing people too. Okay, they need to go too.
Right, they, like, just was wrong.
Right, like whatever this idea was that y'all thought was okay, it was always going to be wrong. So, I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and that's what happened when you go with the culture unchecked. Because when you started ringing, I was like, yeah, this been going on for a long time. This ain't no new shit. People knew about this.
Mm-hmm. Here's something I thought was interesting. Because it was so. It was so true. The 10 guilty pleasures of an introvert. And I was kind of like, huh, this could be me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And it's so funny. And maybe because I'm an extrovert. And we've been together forever, but I still had to get kind of used to your personality as far as doing things and going out and like being active, because that's just how I run. So, you know, I had to get used to, oh, okay, this is just how you tick. Oh, okay, this is part of your personality trait, and be more understanding and more compassionate to that, because that's not how I function.
Yeah.
It was an adjustment, I'm not even gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different because it just depends on the situation and stuff. But I don't like going out to crowded events.
Right.
I don't like things that I think attract certain people to events draw me away. So when people are like, oh my God, it was so packed in there, I'm like, why the fuck would I want to go there?
And loud and hot.
Yeah, I don't like that shit. You know, when I go to a place and it's so loud, I can't hear another person talk. Why would I ever go there? The whole point was to go out and hang out and have fun. And if I can't hear you, how are we having fun? We just happen to be in a place with loud music at the same time. You know, I could stay home and turn my radio all the way up.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? And I think for me, as I've gotten older, I'm like, fuck that shit. You know, when I was younger, I was kind of more apt to do that. Now I'm like, I'm old. No, I need to be able to hear you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've kind of slowed down. You know, some extroverts, they just 110 all the time. I'm like, nah, I'm good. And I'm like you sometimes. I'm like, that don't sound like that was a good time.
Yeah, I never was into it. Even when I was younger, it's just none of that's ever. I've always liked chill spots. I've always, you know, when I go out to eat, I like to go at off hours. You know, if something is, you know, popular and like, or if something is like, you're expected to mingle with people, I'm not really into it. You know,
yeah, so you're like a wallflower.
Yeah, it's just not my thing. You know, like dancing isn't my thing. Like, you know, it's a lot of shit that goes with it.
Yeah, I love to dance.
But this joint was so good. I felt like they knew me when I was like, I identify with almost all of these points, if not all of them. That's how I felt reading these points. Let me try to read them, guys. Number one, 10 guilty pleasures of the introvert. Number one, when plans get canceled. Oh. Yes, so good. There's nothing worse. I mean, nothing better than when plans get canceled. I like, if you tell me that there's an event and it's like, people feel bad when they be like, oh man, we actually not gonna be able to do that this Saturday. I'll be like, good. I can stay in, I can do whatever I want, I can watch TV, I can play video games, I can catch up on Naruto, I don't have to do anything. That's like, you know, like if I knew the plans would be canceled ahead of time, I almost would prefer to have people make plans that they're gonna get canceled. That's the only way it could be better. You know, cause like I have to gear up for this shit. Like,
you when have to store the energy up for it. Right.
Yeah. Like I have to, like if you tell me, hey, let's have dinner in 3 days, in my mind, I'm preparing the whole time. Like I'm just like, okay, 3 days, I'm gonna have to do dinner. I'm gonna be on. I'm gonna try to get there on time. And I'm thinking about all the things that can go wrong. Right, I'm thinking about, you know, you know, like I want to make sure you have a good time. I want to have a good time myself. I don't want to ruin anything. Right. Stuff like that. So it's a major one. Another two, number two, evading small talk. Yeah. That's a huge one for me.
Don't like that.
You tell me about the weather, what route you take to work, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hate it all. Like, don't talk to me about it. You know, I'd rather you come up to me and talk to me about, I don't know, the time that you and your girlfriend got in a fight than this shit. Cause at least that's something that matters. Everything else don't matter. I'm like, oh yeah, did you see this? The weather we're getting, huh? Some weather. Yes, we always have weather. That is a thing we have every fucking day. And there's nothing neither one of us can do about it. So I don't want to have to smile and pretend that I care about this. Number three, dining alone.
Nah, I dine alone.
I do like dining alone. Like, I go out to lunch with Karen most of the time and stuff, but if plans get canceled and that means I got to go somewhere by myself, totally fine with it.
Yeah, I think as I've gotten, when I was younger, I used to want to always go with somebody. But one day the light came on, and but as a teenager, I was like, I'm not waiting on y'all niggas. I'm hungry. I'm going now. And I would just go out, and I'd go out, eat by myself, go movie by myself, go most of my life is spent, by myself, driving a car by myself. In fact, I done got to the point now, I have passengers, I get mad, like, I gotta deal with somebody.
Yeah, I would, you know, do a lot of stuff for myself as well, but like, and I come prepared for that. My headphones, I take my tablet with me, I like reading when I go out to eat by myself. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with dining alone, you know?
No, and it's not. And I think for me, the thing that really makes me, put like this, the thing that makes me mad about dining alone is particularly if you go somewhere where you have like a waitress or some shit, them wanting to be your friend. Mm. Bitch, I'm by myself for a reason. You don't have to entertain me while I'm here. I'm by myself, it's okay. It it's almost like they feel bad, like you ain't got no fucking friends because you decide to eat alone. Sometimes you might want to say, I don't want to be about my kids, I don't want about my husband. Sometimes this might be a you day. I don't need you tying up a me day for something like that. And I think for me, because I was raised the only child, I'm used to a long time, and my long time is very precious to me.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than when you go somewhere and it's like, yeah, table for one, they're like, oh, I'm like, oh shit, nigga, right. I'm happy.
They get sad like your life gonna end because you by yourself.
All right, I'm like, this is good, what are you talking about? But yeah, dining alone, definitely one of my top enjoyments. I don't get to do it that often, but when I do, I enjoy it. Being fluent in yees and knees sometimes, and that's they use that as a place for Kanye West, the creative introvert.
Okay,
which is weird, and yeah, it's not always the coolest thing in the world. Yeah, but I have a real soft spot for Kanye, even I don't engage in these, like when I hear people say it, I just don't talk to them about it. But whenever somebody says like Kanye is trash, or you know, he's such an egomaniac or something like that, part of me always kind of is like, I understand some of the shit he be saying, you know, which, you know, he's not like some of that stuff I can identify with, man. Like,
right, because a lot of the most creative people in the world, be it comedy, music, and a lot of them are introverts. Like, a lot of some of the most creative professionals, they go inside their own minds a lot.
Yeah, you know, and at least I respect and understand some of his points. Right. You know, like, sometimes he'll say stuff and I'm like, why the fuck does it bother people that he's not humble about being talented?
Come on.
You know, like, why do we have to, like, what's so funny about that? I still remember that Jimmy Kimmel interview and I was like, I mean, some of that shit was really on point, but it felt almost like white people just laughing at the idea that this black dude thinks he's a genius. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think anything's really funny about that. I think that's okay for him to be able to think that he's extremely talented and ahead of his generation and all that shit without y'all trying to come in and shit on him for it, because y'all still gonna listen to the albums. They still gonna go platinum. We still gonna sell out stadiums. What are we talking about? You know, what's the anger for? But yeah, you know, he's one of those dudes. Let's see what else we got here. We got ghosting. That's when you dip out on people without really saying anything.
They turn around and you be gone.
Yeah, like, and ghosting also is basically when people are fighting or say something fucked up about you, how you just hit the peace sign and slide out.
Like Homer Simpson in the bushes.
Yeah, like, I don't need to fight you. I don't need to have this conflict. You know, if I literally see somebody just doesn't fuck with me, I'm fine. Just don't fuck with me over there, you know?
Right, now I ain't got to hear, see it, and don't care.
Yeah, like, I, you know, it was a getting to know all these people through the internet and shit, and all these people that, you know, want to quote unquote be your friends. You know, it's been kind of a interesting thing for me, because I don't have a value on having a whole lot of people that are my friends, mm-hmm. or whatever, or following me and shit. Like, I like good relationships, but
right, relationships,
I can, you know, give me a few good relationships and I can I'll impregnate the bitches, my man Brian said.
God,
right?
Lord.
But you know, but that's the thing he was saying, was like, people want a whole army, but you can just get a few dedicated people and you can kind of accomplish a goal.
Right.
At any rate, it was through like the last couple of years, I started seeing people that want to be your quote unquote friend on social media, but also want to talk shit about you. And wow. That was something to me. I was just like, I couldn't even understand. And I still can't really understand that mentality to be like, I need you to see that I don't fuck with you, but please, you know, let me follow you, let me be your friend, let me see when you say something so I can also say I'm disgusted with you and I don't fuck with you. Mm-hmm. It's super weird to me.
Some people function like that, like, and to me that's very dysfunctional, but some people function like that in real life, and on certain things there's no separation. I don't fuck with those people in real life, so I'm not gonna fuck with you on the internet. I don't fuck with people who do that and I can actually talk to you, so I'm not gonna deal with that on the internet. I will block you, mute you, and just go on, and we both can be happy outside of each other's existence. But what's funny about that, when you do that, those people turn around and get mad, because it's a control thing.
Right.
You know, like, they want to control the relationship. Like, no, it's two people and I choose to access my power.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't owe you an argument. Mm-hmm. I don't owe you a debate. Like, if we can't come to some type of resolution between the two of us, what's the point?
Come on, you wasting my time and I'm wasting yours.
Going solo. But yeah, that's just basically going out on your own, not just to eat, but to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mind that.
Shopping by myself is flames. I can take as long as I want to. I go up and down the aisle. I can find all the sales. Honey, ain't nothing like going shopping. I could stay in the store for 3 hours if I want to, and I ain't got to hear nobody's mouth.
Yeah, sometimes it's the best company you can have is yourself.
Come on.
People watching. I also love this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody that's my friend that we've gone out can pretty much attest to that. Like, I do love me some people watching.
Mm-hmm.
Making up entire histories of folks just right there being like, you see this person, what they doing? You know, look at this conversation.
Man, that's,
you know?
That's a good pastime.
Number 8, screening calls. Nothing better than that call ID that comes with that iPhone.
That, honey, that's the best thing they ever could invent it, because I'm trying to tell you right now, if you call me and a photo and your name don't pop up, you going straight to voicemail. I don't care if I know you for 15 years or your number changed. You better leave a message or else we'll never talk again. I'm content with that.
I would also throw in knocking on my door and announced.
Oh, I don't play them games either. But, I don't care if my car sound. I don't care if you hear my music. I walk past the screen door with the glass.
No. But I'll go one further. Even if I know who it is calling, sometimes I just don't feel like talking.
Come on.
But I'm like that I know who's calling. You know, if that makes any sense to you guys.
It does.
Number 9, having extroverted friends. This is true. It took me a long time to grasp this and to deal with it, but it's the truth. A lot of my friends are just people that decided we was gonna be friends.
And that just what they were in your life.
Yeah, cause you know, to me, I'm like, some of my best friends I don't talk to that often. Like, you know, when we talk, it's just like old times, like nothing. You know, like it's not like we don't, like some people have friendships where it's like I call this person every day, we check in 3, 4, 5 times a week, we, you know, we're very proactive about our friendship. I don't have friendships like some friend people I talk to a lot, but I wouldn't say my friendships are normally like that unless I made a conscientious effort to be like, I want to talk to this person all the time.
Right.
In most cases, you know, I'm fine with not talking to people all the time. And then also people that have generally ended up being my friends are all people that are like, I'm gonna be your friend, and you know, kind of push past it. Yeah, they just kind of push past. I mean, you know, it to, I guess on the outside looking in, it would seem like they're just being jerks, but you end up being friends. I don't know what to tell you. And then when we go out, you know, or something like that, people are talking to them. You know, they talk, at least they're talking to them, you know, kind of not me. So
yeah, because the thing too, a lot of introverts are beautiful and wonderful people, and extroverts are like, oh, you're a cold person, and that you're like, yeah, but you, and they're looking at you like, but you take so much goddamn energy. They're like, let's go out and do something. They're like, no, I'm good. Can't, no, I'm fine. It's, you know, it's like a battle sometimes. So sometimes you have to find a balance with the relationship.
And then lastly, taking naps. I do like me some naps.
Honey,
I look forward to them. Not able to take a lot of them, to be honest.
My favorite pastime.
I do love taking a good naps. That's especially after I have a bunch of fucking interaction with folks. Like,
yeah, you have to recover.
I literally just have to lay down. Like, I can't fight it.
I can't explain it. And maybe because I don't, because I'm an extrovert, I don't get that feeling. Like, it literally drains you where you like, look, if I don't rest, I won't be able to function. It's almost like it pulls everything out of you. And I'm the opposite. When everybody's gone, that's when I'm drained. Like when everybody's gone home and all that stuff, that's when my,
well, that's my, what I'm saying though, zero. After when everybody's gone, I'm also drained. Like but yeah, people tire me out. So even leading up to knowing that I have something where I have to interact with people, I try to take a nap or get a lot of sleep or something, because I know I'm gonna need that energy.
Yeah, like I said, and me, I'm the opposite. Like I said, I just feed off of that. So I'm in my head. I'm excited. I'm just a ball full of energy, like the whole time. And yeah, you do have to rest afterwards. But like I said, it's a difference, because you know, when we got back home, when we went to DC, your energy level went back up. Mine didn't.
Right. All right, so that was the 10 things, man. I read that on Blavity, but for some reason Link wasn't working. But shout out to Pocket, it saved all the stuff for me. Let's see what else is happening in the news. Oh God, all this news is so terrible.
Yes, it is.
Hospitals are charging sexual assault survivors with exorbitant hospital fees. Yeah, apparently, in a recent study published in the American Journal of Public Health, researchers analyzed the insurance policies of 1,355 female sexual assault survivors between the ages of 16 and 61, and they found that nearly all of them paid healthcare costs, an average of $950 for crimes committed against them.
Woo!
The study found that whilst insurance typically covers 86% of the $6,737 average cost of rape, The average cost of rape.
Good God.
The average cost. Think about that. included for items like a rape kit, an involved exam that collects forensic evidence for a tailored treatment program, or to support court proceedings should you wish to out of pocket. Survivors are generally left to recover the remaining amounts out of pocket, even if you do wish to prosecute. Wait, why is Fuji still playing? Sorry about that. I love this album, but come on, guys. I didn't mean to do that. The cost is even more disheartening given that protection clauses in the law, like Violence Against Women Act, VAWA, were established to prevent hospitals and healthcare providers from billing survivors after their assault. Still, many providers in the country have figured out how to tack on extra fees. Michelle Katz, a licensed practical nurse, health insurance advocate, and author of Healthcare for Less, one-on-one health insurance tips and healthcare made easy, tells Teen Vogue. She says that depending on the facilities, physicians often charge a professional component associated with their expert reading of the diagnostic or lab work, a site fee for the cost of the room and equipment, and a technical fee for the kit itself. This begs the questions: are hospitals unnecessarily billing survivors?
Yes,
sounds like they are to me.
Getting the money from the insurance company.
They basically found out that they were going to end up quote unquote doing this work for free, so they just came up with ways outside the system to charge someone for being sexually assaulted, because they're like, I still did labor, I want my money. So it's fucked up.
That's what happened when shit is for profit too.
Yep, that's exactly it. When your healthcare system is about making money, you know.
Yeah, and it's not about healthy people.
Yeah,
that's why nobody gives a fuck about being healthy. They just want to pump you full of pills and medications.
Yeah, but when it's about that, I mean, not that that wouldn't happen in a different situation, but when the point is you have to make money to live or to pay off the student loans or whatever,
right?
Everything becomes money. It doesn't matter whether there's no sacred thing. Whether it's sexual assault, whether it's you were physically, if you were attacked in a hate crime, hey, we got to send you a bill. We did the work. So, and that's just another thing we don't think about when people say stuff like, casually say stuff like, all these bitches be accusing men of rape to take them. It's like, so then they just got an extra $750 sitting around so they can make a false accusation for tests that are going to come back negative that they know was no assault. Like, how do you think that works?
Come on.
How many people don't even accuse somebody or press charges because they know I don't got $750 to go get a bunch of kits and shit done so they can send me a bill later? And these are the insured people.
Come on.
So then you have the uninsured people. I don't have $7,000. So apparently if you sexually assault me, you just gonna get away with it because I don't got $7,000 to pay anybody. You know? Like, that's the things that I think often get don't even get considered when we talk about sexual assault accusations. Even, you know, people wonder why I err on the side of believing victims. This is why, because it's like everything stacked against you to say don't say shit. So when you say something, it should be people out there that's at least willing to consider that you're telling the truth,
right? And the thing that kills me is that is a 1-2% quote unquote chance, I think it's less than that, that the person being sexually assaulted is lying. But most people, 99.99% of people, they're telling the motherfucking truth. They're telling the truth, and the system is designed to kind of fight against them when it comes to these things. And people act like after you've been violated by being sexually assaulted, then you turn around and you fucking violated again, because they don't tell you when they do these tests, they up all up in your offices and scraping shit and taking blood and plucking pubic hair, all kinds of shit. It is not pretty, and people act like this is just a clean up. You're just supposed to not say nothing. At the end of the day, that's what people want. People want people to shut up and be quiet because, truth be told, they don't want to think about it. But a lot of these people are the quote-unquote good people.
Yeah. So I don't know. Think about that when you think about, say it before you get ready to say some shit like, you know, these women just out here accusing, trying to bring a man down. Think about what you actually saying, because there's a financial, social, and mental cost to all this shit, and we can't just keep dismissing it or acting shocked every time somebody's accused of some shit.
Right. Smart is bringing up something good. Like, a lot of times when you go into these places, these people are insensitive, they don't care, they ask you a lot of invasive questions, they make assumptions while they round down their numbers, and they poking and prodding. And for those of you that don't got vaginas, you know, they probably have to do a pap smear, so they taking shit and slamming it all up in your vagina and shit like that. Or you know, if it's your anus, they, you know, slamming all stuff in there, just treating your body like trash after you have been fucking sexually assaulted.
Yeah, it's just a lot to the process, and I think people don't understand it. So then they, you know, because of that, they start going, I don't believe these bitches and stuff. And I'm talking about, I'm not just talking about these MRA, ashy hotep niggas. I'm talking about a lot of men who would call themselves good men.
Correct.
You know, immediately hop to the side of these bitches be out here trying to trap niggas. Immediately. You know, and I think people need to sit back and question themselves. Because one, you don't have to rush in with a hot take.
No.
Number one.
You don't.
But number two, if your hot take always gravitates towards the side of these famous men just keep getting accused of shit, or these, you know, just men, these police, like, think about it before you say that shit, because it's the same shit people say about black people when we talk about police violence towards us.
I see no difference.
It's the same shit that happens when you're at work and you accuse somebody of racism. It's the same shit that happens when in a lot of these situations that you wouldn't be on the side of that, but once it becomes a gender thing, you immediately hop on the side of men. You know, it's just interesting that that happens. And not even men, you immediately hop on the side of the person who is being accused, because in some cases it's not even men. Sometimes the victim could be a man.
Correct.
Or the survivor could be a man, and people still do the nope, it's gotta all be made up or some bullshit or whatever.
Yeah, you go against his masculinity, but that wouldn't fucking matter.
Right. I mean, look at Africa Bambaataa. Remember when he was accused and it was all men, former boys, children that he was accused of having sex with, of raping. And then people were already, it can't be him, man. That brother invented the beatbox or some shit. You're like, what does that have to do? Those two things have nothing to do with each other.
Mm-mm.
It's just about somehow preserving. I think in a lot of people's minds, they would rather wish that a sexual assault hadn't taken place, but that wishful thinking is also harming the people keeping people from getting justice. You know, it's the same wishful thinking people have when they think about George Zimmerman. They would like to hope that that dude wasn't a racist bigot that walked and stalked on a teenage black kid and killed him on his way home getting Starburst or whatever, or Skittles or something like that. They would like to hope that that's not what happened. So that's what they decided in their mind. It didn't happen. They decided that it just something else happened. They can't tell you what, because it goes against all the forensic evidence, but they just don't want to sit up there and think that that's what happened. It's just a misunderstanding. He didn't mean to do that. All that shit. All the other evidence doesn't matter. That happens with sexual assault a lot, amongst people. Anyway. Mayor announces a free community college plan as part of her crime fighting plan. Mayor Catherine Pugh, unveiled her crime fighting plan Wednesday. Matter of fact, I wonder if I can play this. Hold on. I think I might be able to play this video.
Mayor Catherine Pugh is banking on a holistic approach to crime fighting with an eye on the future.
We're giving our young people hope.
Hope in the form of attending Baltimore City Community College for free, costing the city $1.5 million starting in 2018.
Our two-year commitment to them is an associate degree or a certificate, because we're now partnering with some of our cybersecurity firms at Baltimore City Community College. And so some of those young people can go into those programs.
Those who don't go to college, the city is looking for a commitment of 500 to 1,000 jobs for young people from the business community. The mayor is filling two key positions to help her carry out her crime-fighting strategy.
You know, my first priority is defining the mission of the mayor's Office of Criminal Justice.
Drew Vetter will also be involved in implementing the consent decree. Kendra Parlock is the new director of CityStat. She prefers calling it City Smart.
So we're in the process of identifying what those key performance indicators are and what those metrics are. So that's priority number one.
It's going to take all of us to really stop the crime in Baltimore City.
The mayor wants 18-year-olds to start in the cadet program, allow retired officers return in supervisory positions, secure state funding license plate readers, install gunshot detection units, secure funding for mobile crime lab vehicles. She wants methadone patients to be given a month's supply through telemedicine, which will include pharmacists.
Come on.
She wants to expand the city police homeless outreach teams and build housing for the homeless.
Again, I'm very excited about the direction that we're going in.
The mayor's plan helps ex-cons find jobs. It creates a one-day work, one-day pay initiative and strengthens the Safe Streets program. Reporting live from City Hall, David Collins, WBAL TV 11 News.
That's what I'm talking about, and people gonna fight her like fucking hell not to implement that.
Come through Progressive Mayor Bay.
Right, that's what you need, because shit like that is what changes communities. Shit like that is what causes prosperity. Shit like that is what give people hope that don't have hope. You know, shit like that is for the people who out there right now in that area that was like, I would like to go to college, but I ain't got the $500 a semester or whatever it is to go. She like, if you come over here, we'll get you that degree. Like, the shit she is doing now, you might not see the results of that for a few years, but it's gonna be a net positive result. But the problem is, people don't want to invest that money up front. If you're willing to invest into the community will turn around and then invest back into you.
Yeah, I just think, one, it's a shame that she doesn't have a national federal administration that would back her up on some of this, because
right,
making Baltimore safe, part of that is working with the U.S. Department of Justice to improve policing, Baltimore policing.
Right.
So you know that's not going to help. She's going to be kneecapped on that shit. But also these plans matter because you have to have a holistic approach, and this is what happens when you think people are people.
Right.
Because we have in this country a lot of mercy when it's a white person offending something. Yesterday we just read an article about welfare fraud. There was a bunch of white people in this white part of town in New Jersey, and they got amnesty program. You know, they got an amnesty program. We don't, when it's not a white person, we are so punitive in this country. We think a black person's place in this country is 6 feet under or in the jail. Right? That's how we think of black people in this country. Like, we don't typically think of black people as occupying spaces of power. We don't think of them as citizens with full rights of other citizens in America. We think of black people as less than, and it's our conditioning in this country from inception. You know, you can't have slavery for 400 years and then, you know, click your fingers and all of a sudden everybody goes, well, none of the mental hurdles that happened during those 400 and something years, none of that shit, it matters anymore. No, it's gonna always matter. So yeah, we think of people less than, but this is what happened when you put somebody in power, a black woman, who looked at the community and goes, when we talk about getting people off of drugs, when we talk about keeping people off the corner, when we talk about people keeping people from committing crime, what are the things that can help this community do that? You know? And I will add this thing to it, that I think is, even more important. She tends to lean towards an investment in the community of black people that I think when we talk about the agendas of politicians nationally, like Bernie Sanders and stuff, this is one of the huge holes in his agenda to me. You know, cause you have to, if you're not, you can't just simply say free college, cause that's cool too. But then policing has to be a part of that. Getting people off of drugs has to be a part of that. Like it has to be more than just, well, once the economy is going, it'll work out. That it won't. Some of these elements are systemic and they have to be confronted from a system basis, from a point of changing the way that we think and the way that the government works. You know, on a local basis. Now, I don't live in Baltimore. I do not know the ins and outs of what people think about Catherine Pugh and whatnot. I'm sure it's Baltimore. there's all kinds of politics and all types of stuff going on. I can't, you know, I'm sure someone can write in and be like, this is why I fuck her or whatever. I just know hearing this, I'm like, I wish we had this more places where there are black people that are struggling, because we need this, you know? Because the thing about society that, like I said, you have to have a holistic view. If you don't pay for the school, you'll be paying for the prison time.
Right.
All of this shit matters. People don't go away. Right? Like, all.
I don't know why people don't understand that. It's not poof, be gone.
Right. Whether it's federal money for prison or federal money for a school, what do you think is better for society?
Right. Pay now, pay later, dog.
They will funnel into the place you put the money. I guarantee you that. That's what society will guarantee. That's what capitalism guarantees. Wherever you put the money is where the people will go. So if you put the money in schools, the people will be in school. If you put the money in a prison, the people will be in prison. If you put the money in these schools that are basically juvenile detention centers, all of a sudden, magically, kids start getting funneled over there all the time. You know? And when we look at who gets funneled over there,
it's brown people.
Right. All right. But anyway, I love that, that approach. You know, I'll put it that way. Let's see what else happens. A Bushwick Pizza Festival was a scam. They charged patrons $75 to eat cold slices in the parking lot.
What?
In New York. In Brooklyn, New York. Home of the slice. Y'all paying $75.
You mean the gentrification? Because that ain't the same Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why you can charge $75 a slice.
It was in Brooklyn, Karen. The new gentrified Brooklyn. You want that original Brooklyn pizza?
Mm-mm.
$75. Mm-mm. $75 to eat a thin slab of cold pizza in an old parking lot is what people were paying. I don't know if you can see the picture in the chat yet, but
yes, I can.
Look how small that plate is and how small that pizza is, and it looks terrible. It honestly looks like they took a piece of bread and put a little bit of cheese on it and cut it in a slice. That's horrible. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, that's 100% white, because they'd have been like, they had a big brawl out at the pizza place where niggas paid $75 and they burnt that motherfucker up.
This is a rotten scam. They promote, I don't think black people would have paid for this. This is a
wouldn't have.
$75? This is a rotten
scam.
That's
what I'm saying. No, they wouldn't have. And if they paid $75, somebody getting the whole pizza.
This is a rotten scam. They promoted this is a pizza festival. The organizers at the pizza festival scam victims Facebook group. There were about five pies cut into micro slices of really bad pizza. Clearly this is a scam, and the organizers should be held accountable.
Right. They should be forced to get their money back.
The New York Attorney General has promised to investigate the New York Pizza Festival. Read the story. So hey, that's an update. The Attorney General is getting involved. So that's how you know it's white people. Can't talk about it's gonna be a fight. No, you know it's white people when the New York Attorney General is like, I'm gonna look into this.
but not about racial shit. Fuck you.
The festival, which was held in a park,
we are outraged because they didn't give them the proper Gouda cheese
pizza. The festival, which was held in a parking lot near Flushing and Knickerbocker Avenues on Saturday.
Not the Knickerbocker Avenue!
Mm-hmm. It was advertising an eclectic tasting of the best pizza in New York City. But what guests found was a small selection of cold, small slices on paper plates. $75. Woo, they made out. I feel like it was some black people that organized this. Got all that money. Give them Domino's. Let's go.
Right!
Hurry up before they get here. The attendee, Connell Burke, told a Gothamist reporter who originally reported the story that the event reminded him of a notoriously unluxurious luxury retreat where guests paid thousands of dollars to sleep in FEMA-style tents and eat out of styrofoam cups. It was like the people from the Fire Festival decided to throw a pizza party, he said.
Oh, so he sounded like he got by both of them.
I mean, I guess he remembered it. I don't think he signed up for both, but I guess he saw the news on both of them. Yeah.
And you talking about I'm paying $75 for a pizza party. The location better not be the Piggly Wiggly parking lot, else we got problems.
Yeah, I already know who I'm blaming for this. I think we're on the same page, guys.
You get blamed for everything.
Where my money at, dog?
You supposed to do a concert at the pizza place.
Where my ain't no pepperonis on this. Help me, Ja Rule. But yeah,
is this real cheddar cheese?
He said, Burke said fellow party patrons agree with his assessment. One person, Buck LaFleur, wrote on Twitter, on Facebook, I paid $74 for the VIP.
Oh shit! I get a little bit of extra cheese.
See, you ain't a VIP, you get some crust. Okay?
You get dipping sauce.
Mm-hmm. What, you want some marinara, Mr. VIP?
I know, right?
Go on, you get a table for your pizza. when I got to the pizza festival at 7:13 p.m., they ran out. No pizza at all. Damn. They supposed to keep some pizza in the VIP section. Come on now. It was nothing but Jesus that stopped me from flipping over those tables, wrote Vanessa D. Kissy.
Yes!
Now see, that had to be a black woman. Karen said it wasn't no black people right there. I feel like if it
was... Shout out to Vanessa. She was like, I will tear this bitch up.
I feel like only black people incite the name of Jesus.
That's all I say. Stopping them from putting their hands around your throat.
I'm looking up her Facebook right now.
What? Vanessa was like, if it was not for the Lord on your side, I'd have killed you.
Like, I feel like only black people give Jesus the credit for not fucking. Yep, like it's a black woman.
Yeah, she was like, if it wasn't for the blood, oh, I'd have took you out, dog.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
she probably looking like, y'all better thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Mm-hmm. $74, I'm table flipping mad too.
What?
Be like, yeah, but it was nothing but Jesus that stopped me from flipping over those tables. She drove from with her brother from Albany, New York to attend the festival. She added she would add the organizers to her prayers. God would deal with them accordingly. The fact that my friend and I spent $55 each for such a shitty event like this is unbelievable, said Patsy Juarez. All we got was warm, wet, red wine that tasted like ass.
Yeah, wine is not good warm.
I disagree. Some wine is good with room temperature. So.
Well, if it tastes like ass, it definitely ain't good, but yeah.
Well, it wouldn't be good if it was cold either, Karen. Cold ass, hot ass, ass. One angry pizza seeker got a message. One angry pizza seeker got a message from organizers Apuntumpu, who call themselves an archive of bands on their Facebook page, blaming the party rental company Hangry Garden for the party's problems, which also included an hour long wait for the doors to open. They fucked us up with the venue. The text message reads, that's very professional.
What the hell that got to do with the food?
Hangry Garden delayed this event by an hour, but the party rental supply company disputed these allegations on Facebook, arguing that they did not produce the event and could not be held responsible for its flaws.
Right. That makes sense. People ain't mad about the venue. They mad about the goddamn food. What did y'all do with all this money?
We did not produce Saturday's burger and pizza event. We were hired as a vendor for our furniture and games. However, we backed out of that arrangement because they misrepresented what they were capable of providing, and we care more about creating a great experience than a bottom line. Any inquiries about ticket refunds or anything having to do with the event should be directed to the event producers on Eventbrite. We at Hangry Garden apologize for any inconvenience this has caused. As a way to lessen the sting, please send us an email with proof of purchase of the tickets, and we will send you 2 free drink tickets to our next genuine Hangry Garden experience.
You know what happened? This place showed up. They was like, oh, y'all motherfuckers ain't organized. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, somebody got there, called their boss, and was like, hey, boss, this shit fucked up. They not organized, they not together. They boss was like, get your ass out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And they left. I don't blame them, because that's a representation of them, too.
Meanwhile, the angry pizza seekers are organizing an event of their own, filing complaints en masse to Eventbrite, the New York State Bureau of Consumer Fraud and Protection, and the New York City Consumer Affairs Department, and anyone else they can think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David Flores recommended Report It as a Scam to your credit card companies, my dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you, my dude.
Back.
Mm-hmm. Do what he say, my dudes. All right, let's see what else we got here. Here's one. It's a little bit sad. An Italian couple and their son died at the Solfatara volcano crater.
Oh, how did this happen?
It's near Naples. The drama unfolded during a family trip at the end of the school holidays, when the 11-year-old walked past a barrier into a prohibited area.
Oh!
And this is why I'm never having kids.
Oh!
I mean, they tell you don't walk past the barrier.
And this baby is old enough to read, do not enter!
You're 11 years old. Come on, man.
You know better.
Like, we can't blame the volcano for being a volcano.
The volcano gone volcano, dog.
Come on, man. But yeah, he walked past there. When his parents tried to pull him to safety, part of the crater collapsed and they fell 10 feet into a hole.
Oh, so trying to get his ass out of there, everybody ended up going down.
And it's thought that all three were overcome by fumes. Their 7-year-old son did not enter the crater and survive, so he probably had to watch.
Oh, and they probably left him behind. They're like, hold on while we go get your dumb ass brother. Whoops. Yep. Everybody went down the hole.
Yep. That's how you got to deal with these kids.
Yeah, the 7-year-old was smart. They were like, I'm not dealing with that.
You try to raise them from the crater to the grave.
Apparently. I did some dumb shit too when I was a kid. How did I survive?
Solfatara Pozzuoli is one of a number of volcanoes to the west of Naples and is popular with tourists. I said they got overcame with fumes. A dormant volcano that last erupted in 1198. It has a shallow crater and is known for its sulfurous fumes and emissions of steam.
Ah, so they fell down in there and that shit just took them right on out.
Well, apparently there's quicksand all around it. The family was visiting from Miolo near Venice in northeastern Italy, report said. The parents were both in their 40s. Italian reports named three as Massimiliano, Cara, Tiziana, Zaramella, and their son Lorenzo. The area where they died is known for a type of quicksand where the ground is prone to crumbling.
And that's probably why they was like, do not enter.
Mm-hmm.
Come over here at your own risk.
Right. Ashes to ashes.
Come on, dust to dust.
When the boy went into the quicksand, his father tried to help him out and fell into the pit. His mother went to their aid and all three were thought to have become trapped and lost consciousness because of the poison gases. The local civilian protection department said that inside the pit was boiling hot mud.
Because it's just ridiculously hot, so everything in there just, oh my goodness.
When the boy went into the quicksand, father tried to help that. Okay, firefighters managed to recover the three bodies, and the Pozzuoli mayor Vincenzo Figliola said that he had never come across such a tragedy at the site in 40 years. The surviving son was taken to a bar close to the entrance where the owner Armando Guerrero told La Repubblica, we tried to calm him down as he was obviously very shocked. He was repeatedly asking for the rest of his family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to try to find out where his family is and get them there, and wow.
Mm-hmm. The 7-year-old was later looked at by social workers and a psychologist. He was due to be reunited with his grandparents later. So, okay, they did find his family.
Yeah, this definitely outside in the United States. They was like, baby, how's your mental health?
Yeah.
They don't do that shit in America.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you and your mental health here.
A local worker at the site, Diego Vitagliano, said the accident was the worst thing he had seen in his life. So
hot boiling mud, yeah, that's that was probably an instant death.
Oh yeah, there ain't no lava soap down there. That's boiling ass mud, dog.
Mud. And not for no goddamn mud bath either.
Right, you gonna die. Oh well, magma mia. Sorry, guys. trying to get to the crest of the situation. You guys know what I mean? No, no, nobody likes these. Okay, let's move on. Look, we ain't shit either. Okay. Don't get it twisted. Okay. Sometimes we're not on the up and up. Mm-mm. We all can do better. I tried to stifle these jokes. They just erupted on me. All right. Sorry. come on, guys.
Sometimes we just explode on a situation.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a lot of y'all out there that think y'all hate us right now, but y'all know y'all love us. Now moving on. All right. next segment. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Yay. Sorry about those hot takes last segment. Oh! Oh! Sorry. All right.
See, that's what happened. We blow up, y'all.
Oh! Oh!
You started it.
All right. Let's move on. Wild man guessed the race. I meant fucking with black people. I'm blaming it on the wine.
You own it, therapy wine.
Sarah Sanders cuts off black reporter as she grills her over whether Trump will appoint a new black aide. Without even having to look at the article, you know the black reporter got to be April Ryan. Sarah Sanders hate April Ryan, dog. This racist ass White House. Let me see. I'll play this. Oh, wait. Is it still on screen? Nope. I need to share my screen, dog. Mm-hmm. All right. Give me a second, guys. Sorry about that. And then we'll put this on here. All right. Let's see if I can play this. Like, how long is this video? I might just have to.
Hey,
oh.
I'm Sarah. I want to go to the tip.
We don't see it.
Meeting. What other topics?
You say you don't?
Okay, it showed up.
Okay, here we go.
On the table with the president, beyond Charlottesville and Tim
stuff. They talked about tax reform. They talked about moving to a looking at different ways to bring the country together, and about continuing ongoing conversations, making sure that they stayed in constant contact with one another and having a pretty open and regular conversation.
Conversations about HBCUs in this meeting, and all
HBCUs were not discussed in the meeting today.
Sources saying that there was a conversation about a request from black Republicans to have a high-ranking black Republican within this administration who knows issues and understands how Washington up and down Pennsylvania Avenue works. Was that a conversation in this meeting?
There's certainly conversations about adding additional personnel that can tap into the African American community that did come up. Yes.
So where did that go? What did the president say about that?
A commitment to absolutely work with Senator Scott to look to do exactly that, and for the two of them to continue to have those conversations, for his viewpoints to continue to be expressed directly to the president.
Did they speak of certain issues or certain people as it related to that topic about bringing new
specific people? Didn't come up, Blake.
She was like, oh, you're gonna answer my question.
Yeah, I would say it's interesting because I don't know the full workings of the White House press conference thing, I don't feel like she necessarily cut April off, but she definitely had no answer beyond that point.
Says the penis now.
And it was kind of clear that there was no more dialogue that was to be had. And they have a history going back of Sarah Sanders getting the attitude with April Ryan. So I think that might be where that's coming from. You know, it's on rawstory.com. I think they might have oversold it a bit in the title. Yeah, so 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, it's always 100 when it comes to this black woman in this administration, because as far as they're concerned, they don't want a black ass in there in the first place, because the other dude got an attitude with it one time, made a big old deal. It's like anybody that's up there was like, not you. 100.
Yeah, 100 for me as well. It's just more about the administration for me. Correct. That's 100. Like, that exchange wasn't, I've seen worse exchanges. Mm-hmm. But it's more about just the general feeling I have about the White House.
And my thing is putting a pair of titties up there. Don't erase the bullshit y'all talking about. Don't care. It's still 100.
That Porsche driver we talked about yesterday who shot a homeless man and left him to die. Mm-hmm. She was previously arrested on assault charges.
Mm-hmm. But she was allowed to drive away and go home.
Yep.
Her daddy been getting her off a lot of bullshit.
Yeah, so this interesting. I guess it's not really a fucking with black people. That's just an update. I don't even know why I put that in that
segment. It's still 100.
All right. let's see what else happened. Where did I put this article? Is it not in here? Let me check one more place. Yeah, okay. The White House wants ESPN's Jemele Hill fired for stating facts.
For 100.
Yeah, Jemele Hill said on Twitter, when talking about Trump and his administration, she basically said that, look, he's a white supremacist surrounded by white supremacists, because somebody asked her about it. On Twitter she said, he's a white supremacist who has largely surrounded himself with other white supremacists. I don't know, guys. It's been 24 hours. I can't find a lie still. We have an APB out on the lie, and it has not been found. I don't know if the lie is living off the grid. Maybe the lie is deceased. Maybe it's gotten out of the country somehow. But the lie, be on the lookout for the lie, because the motherfucker is really, really hard to spot right now.
It's like Wells Fargo. You ain't gonna find him.
Yeah. Well, ESPN. Wait, who? Wells Fargo. Who's that?
Wells Waldo.
Oh, Waldo. Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Wells Waldo.
No. The lie is Carmen Sandiego right now, okay?
Oh, yes! Where in the world?
I don't know.
Well, in the world is Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell is the lie, okay? ESPN came out and apologized for Hill's tweets. Not because ESPN believes she's wrong, but because ESPN is owned by Disney and Disney doesn't play that shit. If you've been to Disney World, you know that they, on a day-to-day, you're surrounded by magical fake shit. This is from TheRoot.com, guys. You'll have a hard time believing that famine and hurricanes and senseless violence of black bodies failed by cops ever existed. But yeah, it's weird because people keep trying to blame ESPN on this. I mean, Disney on this and ABC on this. But I mean, ESPN is the company, dog. They told them not to talk about Trump, like, essentially. And it's increasingly difficult to do that and be a black person in America that is paying attention to the news. You know, like, here's the thing. Jemele Hill experiences so much on a daily basis.
Come on, dog.
Of racism and misogyny.
Come on.
On her social media experience. Something that, one, even a person like me will find it hard to comprehend. Okay, and I'm a person that gets harassed, but not nearly as much as Jemele.
And it's all day, every day. She's called all types of names, bitches, whores, sluts. She's threatened with rape. She when she log on, it's thousands upon thousands. It's motherfuckers that just hate her.
Yeah, and so just for being a black woman speaking about sports,
right?
And being a black woman who speaks about sports and isn't scared of her blackness. She's not running around like Sage Steele talking about black people the real racists and make America great again and shit. So she catches flack in a way that a lot of people don't see, and Sage Steele catches flack in a way that people don't see.
Correct.
Just because I don't agree with her, I think she's fucked up, doesn't mean that the harassment she sees isn't
real,
isn't worse than it would be for someone, if it was a man or if it was a white person saying the same things.
Correct.
You know? But at any rate, she catches this stuff all day, every day. And so her reaction and her experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So be it Disney, be it ESPN or whatever, basically they have this rule of just don't talk about the president. Don't say anything too bad about the president.
That's almost impossible.
Yeah, that's like the general rule that ESPN has, you know. When it was Bill Simmons, he got in trouble for talking shit about Roger Goodell. You know, like they have general, like, hey, let's watch taking it too far with this, that, and the other. But how do you do that as a person who gets called, who is literally experiencing a higher level of harassment since this dude took office?
Come on, it went up. It didn't go down, it went up.
I'm supposed to notice it and not say anything. And honestly, there's no white person on this earth that can even understand what it's like. So they get to set the rules, but they don't get to, they don't live under these rules. They think it's right. Just white people for the most part, and especially white men, think that you can just ignore this shit. And it's because they can, because it's only a certain amount of their day. You know, literally, if they just don't want to see certain topics, they don't want to think about it, they don't want to read it, it's that easy for them. But for a lot of people who are living with the topics of these things, it's not as easy as just turning off the TV and living in a fantasy world, or just talk about, you know, oh, it doesn't bother me. Like, it bothers us. We're human beings. So they want a superhuman amount of effort from the black people that work there in a place where it's under scrutiny in the public, because as they increase the jobs of black people there, as they increase the jobs of women there, as they increase the jobs for LGBTQ people there at ESPN, they've become this symbol for a lot of people who hate black, brown, LGBTQ people. They become this, and women, they become this symbol for, oh, they're trying to be liberal. Now keep in mind, the same network employs some of the biggest fucking conservative sports figures out there. You know, like it's literally good for the goose, good for the gander. They don't care. They got Bo Cephas singing the fucking Monday Night Football again. You know, they got that Will Cain dude that is a rising star, quote unquote, on their network. Like, they have conservative people there, but it's just this huge double standard, right? I was reading an article about Jamel and Mike, and they do the 6 o'clock Sports Center, which, you know, this is the double, this is the box, sword, this is the right? box of
prime time.
What's the box of black success in the public space, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's that box where we need them to do a show that's like His and Hers, that's super black, super woke, liberal, funny, all the shit that they always have done, and we want to have a good time with them. But at the same time, the whole time they've been doing that, white people have been like, I hate that shit. A lot of, not all, but a lot of white
yes,
people.
They have.
The bigger that spotlight gets, the bigger that group of white people gets, the more angry they get, the more vocal they get. So they have to deal with that level of pressure. And there's this double standard where Bill Simmons and Jamel said this in the article I read. Bill Simmons and Scott Van Pelt, they reference Boys in the Hood or some movie or some pop culture thing, and it's, oh my God, look at these cool guys. They're so cool. Oh, Bill Simmons did a 90210 fantasy basketball draft mix up. It was so funny. What 90210 character would LeBron James be? Oh my God, so good. Yet you let Jamel and Mike do a Boys in the Hood parody about Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. Oh, we'll get this black shit off my TV. It's that double standard, man. So, you know, and this is the other thing I say all the time. Real diversity is you don't just get to get the black person on your screen. They're a whole person. So if something racist happens to them and they talk about it, that's part of them working there too. You know what I mean? Like, if they notice that the president, and what a lot of people are finding out only 8 months into this presidency, there is no two sides.
No, it's not.
There is no neutrality is what I mean. There are two sides, but there's no true neutrality. When President Trump goes on TV and says, there's good people on the side of white supremacy and good people on the side of Black Lives Matter, and that false equivalency, that's where we have the, okay, this dude's a white supremacist. When you look at his cabinet members and the people he surrounds himself in his administration, and it's Steve Bannon, and it's Jeff Sessions, we get to call a spade, so to speak. So she told the truth, and apparently that's what you can't do. Because it made people feel uncomfortable, and they were able to rally behind that. And ESPN PR issued an apology, saying, like, we talked to her and she knows what she did is wrong. Jamel hasn't said anything. Now, I don't know if she's like kind of, because sometimes they do this thing where they're like, look, don't tweet for how many days, and you know,
offline, right?
I remember when Bo wore that shirt, you know, that people was calling for his job and shit, but you know, so I understand how it goes. But yeah, the White House, the government entity, Sarah Sanders was calling for Jemele Hill to be fired over it. Where are my freedom of speech warriors?
Come on!
Cause y'all get real quiet when it's Kaepernick. Y'all get real quiet when it's Michael Bennett. And y'all real quiet about Jemele Hill. And in Jemele Hill's case, it is literally a government entity trying to make sure that she gets silenced. They are literally interfering with free speech. Now y'all motherfuckers will fucking jump up for Milo, Yakinlalalus. Y'all will jump up for that dude. Y'all will go up for fucking, PewDiePie or whoever the fuck. Y'all will go up for Tommy Lauren. Hey, it's a healthy debate. People should be allowed to have opinions. Where the fuck are y'all? Where is all that? Where's Flag Avatar? Oh, it's in Jamel's mention. Calling her all kinds of names. When one of those fucking white supremacists that went to those marches gets fired or gets kicked out of school, you see all these people. I'm uncomfortable with where this is going. Pretty soon you're going to be able to get fired just for breathing. What if I just happen to be walking past a march trying to get a soda and someone takes a picture of me? Now I don't have a job. But yet we have a actual freedom of speech issue right now. Cause like before with ESPN being, even if ESPN would have been like, hey, you're suspended from the air or whatever, that's actually not really a freedom of speech issue. They told you not to say something, you said it anyway, regardless of it being true or not.
Right, that's company policy.
The company says, right, you gotta miss some days at work. It sucks, but if they told you ahead of time, what can I really say, honestly? You know, and from my understanding, there's a, like, y'all can't talk about Donald Trump thing they have, you know. But for me, it's like when the White House is now calling for someone's job, you know, especially after the last 8 years, we watched people, literally the person in the White House, make outrageous lies about the other person that was in the White House. Like, we watched Donald Trump say Obama wasn't American and he needed to see his birth certificate. We watched him question his grades. We watched an entire movement of people form around that, the Tea Party and the Birther movement. We watched that in America. And not once did President Barack Obama come out and be like, hey, these people need to be fired from their jobs. Hey, this person wrote an article about me and I didn't like it, so this person you need to get rid of them. Not once. People got mad at President Obama for just taking offense to the libelous shit that they wrote. Like, if he'd be like, that's not how that happened, and why are you writing shit about me being a birther? They'd be like, oh God, the president's so upset. I just can't deal with this. You guys think he's perfect, but he gets mad when we call him a king. You know, it's like, how's that a knock on him? Okay, whatever. This White House calls for someone to be fired for essentially telling the truth in a private business, in a corporation that has nothing to do with the White House. But yet, like I said, I don't see my free speech warriors out. I don't see them out. You know, I don't see the people that defend the PewDiePie out. I don't see y'all. So, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, that's 100 for me as well. But yeah, it was just it was so ridiculous. That was such a ridiculous thing. And that motherfucker is a white supremacist.
Yes.
So I don't know, you know. And honestly, dog, like, I hear what people saying. Maybe the threats will matter. I hear y'all, but I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know what a boycott of ESPN is gonna do. I don't know what can be done about it. We'll see. Hopefully she doesn't get fired and then we just won't have to worry about that. But you just never know, you know. I also noticed this trend. April Ryan, Maxine Waters, Jemele Hill, Kamala Harris, all the founders of Black Lives Matter, many, many activists, black women on the front lines of this shit. A lot of cases, the face of the revolution, the face of the fight against this shit, and paying the highest cost.
Right.
Being singled out, you know, L'Oreal last week, you know, I'm just noticing the pattern, you know, Susan Rice, like, the people that are actively fighting against this shit in so many cases, black women, and the people that are targeted for the harassment, targeted to be taken down, targeted for their employment, all that shit, black women. You know, it's not lost on me, and I hope it's not lost on everybody that's watching this shit. You know, that's not the only person ever to say some shit about Trump.
Come on.
You know, but suddenly she's the face of everything bad about, you know, ESPN and the black people that are working there and shit. It's sad because ESPN is making the trolls that troll her every day happy with this bullshit, you know,
because they feel like their actions are justified.
Yeah, it's honestly a fundamental difference. I was talking to someone about this on Twitter the other day because I've been responding to trolls about whenever they say something, they get mad at something I said, like, oh, you said this, and most of the time they're proving me right with what they're saying. I'll make a joke out of it and then I'll block them. That's what I do. It's funny to me. Fuck them. I don't do it for every one of them. I don't even know if I had to put a percentage on it, I'd say 10 to 20% of the people that say something fucked up, that I'll be like, okay, but this is why what you said is stupid and blocked, you know, whatever. To me, it's entertaining, it's funny, whatever. But this person was like, why are you giving them a platform? I was like, if mocking them is giving them a platform, then we disagree. I don't feel like it's a platform. I don't think it's the same as me trying to actually engage them in a spirited debate or bringing them on my podcast or whatever. Now maybe that person would handle it differently. You're allowed to handle it differently. I'm not telling anyone how to run their timeline. The only thing I have on a timeline is either follow or unfollow, block or mute. I don't have, you know, I'm not here to tell somebody what to do. But it's this thing where, in corporate spaces with public personalities, white people often tell marginalized people, not even white people, people of privilege often tell people, other people, how the correct response should be to harassment.
Right.
You know?
People that don't have to deal with the harassment.
And if you will find, and it's not a coincidence, that in general, the more privileged the person, the more they're like, well, just don't respond to it. Because it's not their reality. They just don't deal with it often enough for it to be a problem. Either that, or in many cases, they're on the side of the harassers. So to them, it's like, well, what would be the problem with someone saying, I just think all lives matter 100 times in your mentions that day? Why would you be upset by that? You're like, they don't get it, because they would never have to get it, because it didn't pertain to them. Well, that's the kind of thing that I see with Jemele and all these other people is, you know, with Bomani, people always, every time Bomani goes on a podcast, people always ask him about Twitter and how he responds to his trolls. Like, he's like, I'm not stressed out. I'm not mad. It's just funny to me. I make a joke out of it, block them. That's the end of it. And they're like, yeah, but should you really even respond? It's like, oh, you just literally can't grasp it. Mm-mm. You know, you can't even grasp it.
I don't understand.
Your life is too good, quote unquote. It's too much privilege in your life. Nobody fucks with you. you know. So yeah, I don't know what a boycott will do, same way I don't know what a boycott with the Kaepernick shit supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But you know, good luck, man. I more importantly, I just hope she doesn't lose her job over this shit, because she told the goddamn truth, and fuck the White House for that.
Come on, this isn't no goddamn dictatorship,
right? So yeah, and I guess I hate to keep harping on, but even when I watch, like, Sage still gets to have an opinion. She gets to call a bunch of protesters idiots and shit like that. She gets to do that. You know, like, this is the thing. There are no neutral sides on this shit. You are with them or you are with us. That is just how it is. There is no more. Trump has passed impartiality. Oh, that is done. If you don't take a side, you are on that side. That's it
now. Come on. Inaction is an action.
Right. Like, that is it now. Like, these people that, you know, if Sage Steele can't be punished for saying black people are people that are really racist, then Jamel can't be punished for calling the president a white supremacist.
Come on, no.
Like, I just don't see the difference in those two things. Like, if you're, you know, and I'm not talking about right or wrong. I'm saying literally, if you have picked a principle of we're staying out of it, then stay the fuck out of it. Because this arbitrary rule of, like, well, don't talk about Trump. Nigga, he do something crazy every day. He gonna get talked about. Your fans are talking about him. The people that watch your show are talking about him. They're in these mentions of these people talking about him. They're harassing these people talking about him. What the fuck? So the only people that can talk about him are the people that like him. Guess what? You picked a side. If the only time someone can bring up Trump is to be like, he's a great guy, I love that guy.
New session.
You picked a side. So I think that's a big part of it. Oh yeah. All right. Going to session two. Hold on. Sorry about that, everyone. All right. And I'm on camera. And I need to invite you black people back. All my Sage Steels and Jason Whitlocks. And I need to put you back on screen. Sorry about that. Wasn't paying attention. All right. Anyway, 100, right? Let's see what else we got. Michigan business closed after owner slurs fellow Lions fans as ignorant niggers for anthem protest. I wonder why he closed. A Detroit business was inexplicably closed Monday after its owner used a racial slur against two fellow Lions fans who declined to stand for the national anthem. David Doptis, who owns a restaurant supply company in Pontiac, posted a photo on social media of a black woman and man sitting down as other fans take part in the Star Spangled Banner ahead of the Sunday's NFL game. "You want to sit down for the national anthem," Doptis wrote. You don't like out country? Get the fuck out. With three T's. Well, racist people and spelling do not go well together.
Ignorant people and spelling, dumb people and spelling, they don't go hand in hand.
And the photo was captioned, "Ignorant niggers." Stacey Graham, a Lions season ticket holder, said that she had been sitting out the national anthem since the last year because she disagreed with the song's reference to killing emancipated slaves in the third verse. Everybody has an opinion, Graham told WJBK. He probably could have stuck with, "He wishes we would have stood," and I would have been like, okay, but to write that under our picture, no words. Doptis on Sunday denied posting the photo and the racist caption, but he offered another explanation in the follow-up Facebook post before deleting his social media account. I didn't post any pictures, any collages, anything. I don't know where that even came from.
I got screenshots. What are we talking about? Shit is forever.
I think he's the same person that logged into Ted Cruz's account. He did not respond to follow-up requests for a comment, and his business restaurant liquidation auctions was closed Monday without explanation. Graham said he hopes the Lions cancel Doptis season ticket license or moves her to another section. "We got to build our country back together. We got to come together, whatever that may mean." Are we together when you calling me a nigger when you disagree with me?
No.
How together do you think we are? Because, see, I didn't start that separation. The third verse of that song is about catching slaves and killing them and shit. I don't know. This ain't, I'm not proud of that song. It doesn't make me feel like rah-rah. It doesn't make me feel more American. It doesn't make me root for the military, any of that shit.
Mm-mm.
So we already divided. What are you trying to do to make me feel included? Maybe stop singing that song. Find another song. Why don't we do Lift Every Voice and Sing? How about that?
Oh, they'll never do that.
But that's going in the opposite direction. The racial slur, that's going backwards. That's what Doctor said, though. But yeah, she's right. What does that mean, to come together? I don't even know what that means right now. 0 to 100?
Yeah, come together while you call me a nigga. That's what your come together mean.
Mm-hmm. Slaves for sale. Missouri man plans to show he's not racist. Backfires and neighbors are furious.
Hmm. Are they really furious?
What could possibly make that sentence make sense?
Hmm. Are they really furious, or were they trying to buy him?
A Missouri man hung a sign advertising slaves for sale because he was tired of being called a racist for flying a Confederate flag. Oh, it's a sarcastic slaves for sale, guys. With a not sarcastic Confederate flag up above it. Richard Geisenhire of Liberty says, that's ironic. He says he displays the Confederate flag to express his anti-government views. And he said anyone who's offended by the banner is stupid. If people actually believe that a Confederate flag stands for slavery, well, I might as well be just as stupid as they are, he told the TV station. Oh. Okay. Can't beat them, join them, huh? You gonna call me a racist? I'm gonna be a racist.
This is a very nice neighborhood in Liberty. People from all races, cultures, and backgrounds live here. It's about as suburban as it gets. So to see a sign hanging on a home that said slaves for sale, well, okay, that rubbed people.
Oh, come on, Sarah O'Brien, get it together.
The wrong way. And the folks we talked to asked not to be identified.
It made me feel hurt.
People who live in the neighborhood near Liberty Plaza woke up to this sign at
the sign said loaded
slaves for sale hanging over a Confederate.
Maybe if I pause it, it'll load a little longer.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
But it's like hey man, it's kind of sexist of you to hold up this sign that says fuck all women. Yeah, well, you know what, I'm gonna put cunts below that because y'all know, since y'all already think I'm a sexist, let me prove that I'm not by being sexist. That'll show y'all cunts. It's not even loading
on Richard Geisenheimer home.
Oh, get the fuck, no way. He one of them people with the things for their voice, and he got the nerve to be, bruh, what? Come on, man.
Confederate flag stands for slavery. Well, I might as well be just as stupid as they are.
Geisenheimer says the sign is a
You stupid when you're smoking on them cigarettes? Hmm? Motherfucker. Fuck you, dog. Oh, my God.
Reaction to being treated like a racist because he flies a Confederate flag in front of his home. He says he's not a racist.
If I'd be selling slaves, I'd have to sell one of my grandchildren.
But put up the sign to make a political statement.
It's for people that are tired of the government telling them what to do and what to think. That is what a Southern rebel is.
He's a rebel.
You cannot be a fucking Southern accented racist in electronic monotone. I refuse to accept this.
No, right?
I refuse to. Niggers, get out. You have to go. I refuse to accept that shit. That is such bullshit, bruh. Like, I feel like, no, you gotta not be racist. You don't get a choice, dog. You do not. You gotta be a better person than this. You gotta take that fucking flag down, okay? It's a lot of fucking other assholes out there, but this is where I draw the line. I'm not taking it from you, bruh. I'm sorry. You probably smoke a fucking pack of Marlboros a day, and you got the nerve to be out here mad at me. When you think I'm racist, I'm gonna put a sign out. Ah, suck my dick. You suck my dick instead. No.
flag has, it don't have a damn thing to do with me. Wave it all you want.
But what offends you is the sign.
This idiot with his slaves for sale. Are you freaking kidding me?
Some of Geisenheimer's neighbors are highly offended.
That was a white dude that was mad too. Shout out to him. You can't come to the cookout because, you know, but still, shout out to him. You come to the potluck.
By his sign.
I'm going to tell you why it's offensive to me. I remember the signs on the wall that says white only. I'm that old. I remember the signs on the wall that said Negroes only. Interest here.
Are you planning on keeping the sign up?
No. It is a little point made.
If people call a racist because he was flying the rebel flag and he wanted to make a statement and put up slaves for sale, well, I didn't offend you. I haven't called you a racist. So you got to think about the other people in the community. I'm not.
Yo, this dude would literally kill me. Because if he says something racist to me, I'm not taking it. I just, no. It's just not, you don't get to be racist. I'm sorry. No, you do not get to be racist to me. I'm not going to sit here and wait for you to get your little fucking box so you can be racist. You're not going to call me a nigger. No. Mm-mm. Get off my lawn, nigger. Yeah, that's a no. I'm going to stay on your lawn. I'm going to get my gun and shoot you. Well, I guess I'll just be dead because I'm not doing the fuck thing you say, racist motherfucker.
I'm not disappointed with the neighborhood. I'm disappointed in him. But he took it down, so that's a good thing.
So now the sign is down, and folks who live in this neighborhood hope that Geisenheimer maybe figures out another way to vent his frustrations if he, again, becomes offended or frustrated by something.
Still calling y'all niggas?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't gonna change.
I would spray paint Black's Rule on the side of that dude's house. That's what I would do. Because you know why? Because nobody would ever believe he didn't do it. That's what you do. That, now see that guy? That's who we target for some Black vandalism, guys.
No, you want to get him good. Take that robot thing and make it a Black voice.
Yeah. Oh man, fuck that dude. What a dick. 100.
Yes, sir.
I can't believe he had the nerve, dog. You know what? No. I'm going into happier things. That was my limit. That was my, what the fuck?
That was your limit.
Fuck that dude, man. All right, let's go into some white people news, guys. Okay, we gotta get through this. It's the end of the week. We need to start talking about happier things. Wrap it up on some good stuff. I think white people news is a great place to go with this. Okay, let me cue up one of these songs by the white man.
I don't have any water. My mouth's pretty dry, but I'm gonna try and do this song anyway.
Okay, now this, you guys can't see unless you're in the chat right now, but this clearly is a dude with a guitar, acoustic guitar. He's outside under a bridge and he's drinking out of that's the most used bottle of plastic.
Oh, that shit folded in on itself.
That I've seen since Miss Nikki Baby. Okay, I haven't seen plastic abused this bad since Alexis Sky got on Hip Hop LA. Okay, guys. Anyway, here we go.
Goddamn nature trail he on.
A couple drops you're gonna have to do. Changes for $2. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? Tired of being poor and even worse than black. Someone's hurting me while looking for what's worse than snatch. Cops give a damn about a negro. Pull a chicken to a nigga, he's a negro.
Oh, he said. I was hoping he wouldn't say nigga, but.
He said negro first and then yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cops give a damn about a negro. Pull the trigger, kill a nigga. He's a hero, guys. Of course he had to say it. What was he gonna not say it? Of course. an episode.
To the healthcare, more or less on your mouth on the welfare. First shoot the dope, let them do the brothers. Keep a gun, step back, let's kill each other. Got to fight back, as what you said. Two shots in the dark, now he's dead. I got love and my brother can't go nowhere. Let's share with each other. Gotta make changes, you're gonna see me as a brother said. Two distant strangers, and that's how it's supposed to be. How did the devil think a brother is close to me, huh? I've got to go back to when the previous kids.
Just the way it is. Oh shit.
Will never be the same.
Oh, that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
It's the
way it is on the Shire.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is on the hiking trail.
The wine talking, but the motherfucking chorus is taking me out every time. It's like it's from a whole different song, man. It sounds so white on the chorus, man.
Of course,
like when he be rapping, he's like, cops give a damn about a Negro. Then he get to the chorus, he's like, that's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. And that's just the way it is. Oh yeah. Oh, it's so good.
With the wine and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Gonna make some changes. Not for us, it's people to stop making some changes. Change the way we eat. Change the way we live. Change the way we teach each other.
Even did the monologue. Still, I see no changes.
A war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't having this crime and I could do. Now I'm back with the fast and I'm back to you. Don't bring jack you up, back you up, back you up, a pimp slap you up. Hold your own, they get just when they see you.
Your mobile phone.
Tell the cops I can't touch this, I don't trust this, but they try and rush a bust this. Town number two, you see it ain't true. My mama getting bread to a fool. As long as I stay black, I'm gonna stay strapped.
As long as you stay black. Come on, whiteness.
That's just the way it is.
Yes.
Things will never be the same.
Him and that goddamn guitar.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Came through and crushed the building.
Didn't he, though?
Oh, man. All right. All right. We've had fun. What is Trump up to? The White House won't commit to signing joint congressional resolution condemning white supremacists.
Of course
but
not.
But Jamel needs to lose her job. Right? Too much. It's too They can't decide if white supremacy is bad or not, guys. Gonna need some time to think this over. Gonna need some time to really see if this is the way we want to go with this administration. But also, Jemele Hill needs to be fired for saying I'm a white supremacist. Okay. But the House has passed it. Condemning hate groups after the Charlottesville attack. You know. Now, for the record, I don't think these resolutions do anything.
Mm-mm.
And I don't think anybody really believes them. Nothing's gonna change.
Nope, you need to put shit into law.
It's always just white people's way of, like, moving past the shit.
Temporarily feeling better. That's what it is. Because if y'all were serious, you would pass laws. And then once you pass them, you would enforce them. Because what the fuck is a law if nobody's willing to enforce it?
It's just sheet caking.
Come on!
That's all. is she gay?
With extra frosting.
With extra motherfucking jam on that shit.
Come on.
Extra mayo on the sheet cake. After skinning and grinning for Trump, Steve Harvey says he should listen to his wife and skip the meeting.
Black women be knowing, bitch. Mm-hmm. Your wife seen that. She was like, don't take your ass down there. And then she was like, don't take, because he was going to go to inauguration. She was like, don't take your ass to inauguration. And no, nigga, I ain't going with you. You ain't have me looking like a fool at all the functions and having people cussing me out.
ESPN got both Cephas. Donald Trump got both Tephas, because Steve Harvey's
Black woman be knowing,
Tephas was out there. He recently sat down with the Hollywood Reporter, but guys, it wasn't all good. He said, I did not see that coming, he told THR, referencing the backlash he received after the news spread of his meeting with Trump. It was so vicious that it really threw me. I wish I could do a Steve Harvey impression, guys.
Why?
Because I know he didn't say through. You know he said through.
Why? Because you know he did.
It really threw me.
You know why? Because he wasn't expecting his fans to come out. Like, his fans probably got highly upset. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, because old niggas love Steve Harvey. So you're going to have some people that ain't going to never stop listening. But I can see some people turning that shit off like, no, nigga.
He was on the radio talking about
Flint.
What? No. He was on the radio. Hold on. That's not what I was going to say.
Okay.
He was on the radio talking about we need to respect Trump because he's the president. You know, like, he was on the radio saying that shit. Like, it wasn't no accident. He said, it was so vicious, it really threw me. I was being called names that I never been called. Uncle Tom, a coon, a sellout. Because I went to see this man, which only happened because my business partner got a call from the Obama transition team who said the Trump transition team would like to set up a meeting. Yeah, it's Obama's fault somehow.
You still could have said no, nigga.
He said he took the meeting because Obama. I have a relationship with Obama, with friends, so I say, okay, cool. Now here's the thing, I'm supposed to be on a boat for my 60th birthday, so my wife says, Steve, just take off and skip the meeting, you'll meet with him some other time. God, I should have listened, he said. But see, that's not really,
I'm not missing my 60th birthday party jam to go meet with that, with him.
Well, I was gonna say that's still kind of bullshit, because he said I'll go meet with him some other time. So what, you just needed to wait a little bit longer to Charlottesville to realize this nigga was a piece of shit? Yeah, he said he discussed golf with Trump about 20 minutes before Harvey admitted to Trump that he didn't vote for him. He campaigned hard and voted for Hillary Clinton. He told Trump about all the mistakes that were being made during the campaign that seemingly caused Clinton to lose, and then told Trump that since he had won the election, Harvey was going to help him. Then when Trump asked him how he was going to help, Harvey told him, you've appointed Ben Carson as the head of housing and urban development, and I got the keys to a lot of cities around this country from years of performing that I've done. I can get an ear to them really quick and find out what their real needs are. Y'all keep closing schools in the cities. Why don't we take those schools that are closed and put some HUD money in them and reopen them as vision centers and teach STEM and computers and coding? If you connect me with Ben Carson, I can help him do that. Nigga. I'm sorry. I just, listen, maybe he telling the truth.
That's a great vision. It's just hard for me to,
it's hard for me to believe that that's what happened in that room. Maybe he telling the truth, but it's hard for me to believe that, y'all. Harvey said that Trump got Ben Carson on the phone shortly after that, and since then he has been to HUD twice and met with Carson, and they are actually trying to get it started. But we've heard what Trump, okay.
We've seen what he's trying to do. Wouldn't that Vice article, that Vice thing that came on TV, talking about HUD and the policies and the rules they doing and how they shutting down HUDs and people are gonna be homeless and shit, word, get out of here.
I just don't believe him.
No,
he said he met with HUD twice but not Trump ever since then. But yeah, I honestly just don't believe him, because I've heard what Ben Carson has to say. He wants to close down and take money from everything. Like, he's not trying to help anybody out. He's definitely not spending money or building anything. But yeah, he also talked about Bill Cosby. He said, when I'm your friend, I'm your friend. He said that Cosby helped his son at Morehouse College, and Cosby taught him how to do the business of comedy. When I heard all the trouble he was in, I called and I asked him how he was doing. You know what he says to me? Hey, man, I appreciate you calling, but just stay away from me right now. You don't need none of this on you. You're doing good. Whatever happens to me, but don't you get none of this on you. That's an amazing thing for a guy to say. Well, Bill Cosby, the amazing guy. Y'all know how amazing. We've all heard the amazing stories of Bill and the, how great he is to people, for people, and to help him out. Y'all don't believe him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Sounds like Karen doesn't.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ask all those women how they feel.
Yep. But I guess he can be a great, amazing guy and a amazing rapist at the same time. I guess you can just do both. Justice Department, no evidence Trump Tower was wiretapped. Yeah, we know.
What the fuck?
We already talked about Trump wants to end DACA, the Dreamer Act.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of those nothings that Obama put in place. You know. Yeah, that is just funny because I remember all the, you know, deporter in chief shit, all the, he doesn't care about immigration, regardless of the fact that, the Senate and Congress refused to back any level of change to the immigration policy.
Any.
He had to put DACA in there by himself. And the reason it's so easily reversed is because he never had any help. And part of that is because us as American populace failed to put Democrats even in office.
And real, like, Democrats.
We gave it one shot. 2008, 2010, we was like, I'm tired. Woo, this taking too long, and quit. And these are the results of that shit. It's so easy to overturn something when there was never a coalition that made it, that got it through. When he was campaigning and even in office, and he was like, yo, it's up to us, the American people, it's up to you to put people in office to help me do this shit.
I don't care what nobody say. People heard what they wanted to hear when it came to Obama. He's telling you, I'm going to reach across the aisles. People got mad about that. He's telling you he's a centrist. People got mad about that. He said, you need to push me. People got mad about that. Like, everything he basically did what he said he was going to do. And people were just upset because all they heard was he's going to come in and fix racism. All they heard was he gonna just come in and make everything great for niggas. Like, people just heard this variation of different shit, and I'm like, that's not realistic. Was he perfect? No, but I think people heard shit that he did not say, in my opinion, and then was up mad because he didn't meet these fantastical, unrealistic fucking expectations that you put on a president you never put on a president before, or never will again.
Yeah, so it just makes me mad because I'm like,
right,
this is something we could be pushing forward instead of back. But yeah, of course he's ending it. I'm not saying I'm surprised, but
yeah. And I have studies and statistics to say that most of those people are working. Mostly, like, it's a high percentage of the other people that actually are doing and benefiting and being,
you know what, you know what though, you know what, Karen, you know what, doesn't even matter.
No, it don't.
It doesn't even matter, because that's the part that fucks with me, is we still, and we do this a lot, we still have a lens of respectability even through our, we're trying to fight against this shit. There's still people that are like, but these are the good Mexicans. That's the whole fucking point, is that's Trump's logic also, is that there's good and bad, and the ones that are coming here, they're just bad people, they're bad hombres. And we go, oh, you're a dick for bringing that up. And then when we had this act, which, like I said, it's not, the reason it's made this way is because America as a whole still operates under that lens of you have to be a quote unquote good one in order to get any level of government, whatever, right? But it's not even government assistance, really. It's just a flat path to citizenship. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even allow you to, you can't be on welfare, you can't be on, like, medical assistance, anything. Like, you have to be you literally have to walk a straight line to be a dreamer. And motherfuckers still, and like I said, when people defend it, they still be like, well, these the good ones. It's like, the impetus is not just for these 800,000 people, I think it is, right? Mm-hmm. Cause that's not even, I mean, not that that's a little bit of people, but that's not that many people compared to the population of America.
Right.
the impetus is to make it's the same thing with the transgender military thing. It's to make us go, all y'all need to go home. All y'all need to go.
Yeah, and I guess for me, that wasn't what I was saying. I was using that number because it's a statistic. And I think that I do understand what you're saying, but it's one of those things where, in my opinion, because like I said, I'm not running shit, but I think everybody should be allowed to have a pathway to citizenship, not just this small group of people, and you don't have to be perfect to do it. But the thing is, they have stats and statistics. So I guess from my perspective, I wasn't using it in that manner to just be like, these people just are perfect and stuff like that.
But I think that's our reflexive reaction. You're not any different than the other people that pointed out. Like, we all have that reaction, which is, but these people are good, right? That's the reaction is like, but they doing good. They working. They not living off the government. They not. But that's like me having to point out, like, but it's not mostly black people on welfare. It's mostly white. Like, but at the same time, it shouldn't really fucking matter, right? It really shouldn't matter because the Dreamer people are just people that were brought here when they were kids,
right?
Why the fuck should it matter? They could all be in fucking prison for all it matters. Like, this the only country they know. Correct. They us.
Yes, they are.
The same way a person that's just a naturalized American citizen can go to prison if they fuck up and that's what the fuck they doing with their life, why the fuck can't they be what somebody that was brought here at fucking six do? Like, to me, that's how I feel about it. And I feel like we kind of get into the respectability of it by pointing out, like, but they not even like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all, these aren't bad people. But my thing is, this the only country they know, really. So it wouldn't matter if they were quote unquote, if all of them were just bad people, it's no reflection on them as people of whatever heritage that, whether they're doing good or bad is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I guess my perspective is that I'm not arguing with you. It's one of the things where I'm like, I guess my question, why is pointing that out such a bad thing? Why is saying that statistically, that fact, which is a true statement, a bad thing? I'm not saying that everybody else just fuck them. I'm not saying that by stating that statistic.
Well, I mean, one, I didn't say it was a bad thing to point out, but I'm saying it doesn't matter, is what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if they're doing great or bad. Like, if you're four and you get brought to this country, right? Sure, you go to college, you do great with your life, right? Everything, you do all the things that we define good people by, right? Hey, you got a job, you go to college, you never been on government assistant, you know, like, if we measure it by that, then we're saying that person is more valuable, right? That person is more worthy of staying in this country than, say, if that same person came here at six, and maybe because of the school to prison pipeline, the fact that they're a brown person, they ended up in jail somehow. And because of that, they've been unable to be employed most of their life. And because of that, they've been in and out of the penitentiary system, right? Well, that's one path your life could go down, just being a brown person in America, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, to me, make you less valuable or more worthy of, or less worthy of staying in America.
Right.
Because that's ultimately what it comes down to. So why I say I kind of push back on even using the employment or criminal statistics is that the point is the principle, which is, this the only country you know. So
correct.
So it don't matter to me whether it doesn't even matter to me. You have as much right to be here as anybody else at this point.
Correct. And my thing is, like, I'm not arguing with you on that. Like, my thing is, like, I'm stating the fact because of the fact. But my thing is, if you were bought here and this is the only country you know, you should automatically, in my opinion, have a pathway to citizenship.
I understand. Look, I'm saying it's deeper. You're bringing it up whether you recognize it or not. And everyone does. It's not just you. Everyone that does this does it. We're bringing it up because we want to say, but these people are good people.
Yes,
that's
they
why
are.
We're bringing it up.
And I'm talking as a whole, a collective, not just the people on this list.
Right. Even as a whole on a collective, I'm saying, like, honestly, because we started off talking about DACA, mm-hmm. right? So we're, like, honestly, it wouldn't matter.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Correct.
At the end of the day, it really shouldn't matter whether they're good or not for the Dreamer Act people. You know, it just shouldn't matter.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, so basically we're saying you can be a criminal as long as you're born here. You can be a piece. You cannot work as long as you were on here. You can be living off of government assistance as long as you're born here. That's also us. So basically we have a double standard already.
Okay.
We're already calling it. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, right. I see what you're saying, because when you basically say if you're born, because the way our laws are written, if you're born here in the United States, you are automatically a citizen.
Right.
But you're not taking into consideration people that were children that were bought here, right, raised here, went through our school system, got education.
Right.
They have the same right to be here and the same pathway to citizenship as people that were born here. Because also something else on the low people don't talk about, when a lot of particularly children get deported and they end up going back to Mexico, they have like detentions where you have all these children that can't just speak nothing but English.
Detention centers.
Right.
Yeah.
And it causes a problem and they don't adapt well because it's
because we're not viewing them as people.
Right. I agree.
You know what I'm saying? We're not looking at, like, cause honestly, think of, like, the logic is, well, they have to be doing excellent in order to be in this program and in order to stay in this country.
I see what you
That's the logic. So automatically when we apply that logic, it's already a double standard.
So basically, I guess I just want to understand what was the pushback. I guess basically you're saying that by saying that statistic, I'm basically saying that you have to meet these criteria or meet these goals.
Right.
But I guess my thing is that's not what I meant. But right, by stating that fact, that's the same statistic that other people use to kind of go the other way.
It's reflective is all. It's reflexive is all I'm saying. This is not me calling you out. This is not me saying, you know, don't do this. When you said it, I didn't call you bad. I didn't say you shouldn't have said it or any of that. What I said was, I don't even care.
Right.
That's what I said.
Right. Because
it just does, it doesn't matter.
Right. It doesn't matter. And it's one of the same ways where it because it's almost like black people are measured like this. When it comes to anything, you go, well, these are the numbers. These are statistics. And those same numbers and statistics are used for pros and cons.
Right.
When at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because the group that you're talking about are human beings, so no facts or statistics should actually matter in certain situations.
It's the welfare argument all over again.
Right.
It's
right. Because I guess I wanted to get to the
It's like, as black people, we always want to be like, but we're not on welfare. We do have jobs. We do go to college. We always want to, black women are the number one growing entrepreneurial, da da da. But it's like, why are we always having to be on the defensive and jump to, but I'm a good person, let me show you my worth? And that's white supremacy making us have to prove that shit. And we're already kind of playing the game when it should just be like, I'm the end of a Time to Kill. Imagine that motherfucker was white. Then I don't have to say, well, this white person doesn't belong in the country because they're a criminal. We would never say that. Well, like, you can be white and come here and be a criminal. Like, you did all the paperwork, but what's the problem?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We only do that shit with brown shit and black shit and LGBTQ shit and all that. Then it becomes, you know, women, that's like, well, you have to be excellent. You have to prove that you're not a bad person and then you can stay. And it's like, that's not the rules.
Right. And I think, in my opinion, and as I get older and just being here in America, we're conditioned by default for whiteness. Even if we consciously or unconsciously do it, we're kind of conditioned that the default is to be compared to whiteness.
We have to survive.
Right. Because the thing is, that's why for a lot of brown people, particularly once you start getting in the workplace in corporate America, it's a constant proving yourself. Because you're not proving yourself for you, you're proving yourself for whiteness. You're proving that you're worthy for whiteness. You're proving that you earned this position for whiteness. Like, everything defaults back to whiteness. And in my opinion, that's where the root cause of all this stems from, is just whiteness and white privilege and white supremacy not really realizing that it's the part of the problem, and it doesn't like to be called out. It doesn't like to be told it's wrong. It has egos, you know, because you talk about whiteness as a whole, and when you tell white people y'all got to fix this shit because it's your shit, it becomes a problem. But brown people are always told to fix their shit in their own community because their shit is not considered an American problem, when white supremacy is a motherfucking American problem.
Yeah, and I would add two things. One, in the context of, like I'm not saying the stats don't matter.
Right.
I'm saying you. Because in the context, here's why the stats matter, is because you want to confront the truth.
Right.
So I don't want you lying on these people and then turn around and say, so like in that one, there's two fronts on this. One, you are lying about these people. They're not all criminals and rapists living off the tit of the government and except like, so number one, you're lying. That's the number one thing. But the number two thing is, he said the shit about the rapist to get us here.
Right.
Cause he never was going to stop at the quote unquote bad hombres. That was what we knew a year ago when we were talking about this shit on the show. It was like, oh no. All of y'all gotta go. He's not gonna stop. So the 30% of Latino voters that voted for this shit, he wants you gone too.
Right. The ones that have that proximity, or you think your whiteness, a lot of Cuban Americans, right. A lot of them voted
because he don't see any difference.
Come on.
Like, he just sees no difference. He's like, you're not from here, you need to fucking go. The dreamers are that attack. You see what I'm saying? They are the biggest And I know that's why, as a chess move or whatever, that's why Obama installed it that way, because he was like, well, if we have an act where you have to pass all the respectability shit, these are now considered the cream of the crop. So if someone kicks them out, they're just saying all brown people need to go.
Right.
And Trump had the fucking caucasity to be that person.
Because he don't give a fuck. He ran on white supremacy. He's right. Keeping his promise.
But when Jamel says it, she gotta go.
Right.
Because
dog.
The only crime in this country right now when it comes to racism is fucking pointing out that racism exists. Everything else is allowed. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's the only reason I want to separate those two points. Because it does matter that people aren't coming here to be rapists, criminals, and da 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 da. Like, it does matter that the vast majority of the people that come from these other countries are not coming here to just be criminals.
Right.
That shit matters. I 100% agree with you. That being said, with the Dream Act, the Dreamers, this day country as much as it's my country.
Yes, it is.
So many people don't even fucking speak any other language.
No, they don't.
It's their country. You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers are on the ground saving lives during Hurricane Harvey.
They fought in wars, dog.
Motherfuckers have, right, they've died for this shit. You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking about? They not citizens no more because you just decided? Like, dog, it's racism, you know? So, yeah, that's the part. That's that part. Anyway, Jeff Sessions, Department of Justice, and I'm glad we talked about that too, because it's a lot of our reflexes.
Right.
It's mine too sometimes. Somebody says something, I'm like, oh, that's, but this is a good black person or whatever, and it's like, wait a minute. We're talking about the principle of someone's civil rights. It shouldn't even fucking matter, really.
It should not matter.
So you can take my civil rights if I didn't do good enough for you in the measurements you have?
No.
Like, if I didn't graduate college, all of a sudden now I can get kicked out of the country? How does that make sense?
Come on.
Jeff Sessions' Department of Justice to put the woman who laughed at Jeff Sessions on trial yet again. She was on trial for laughing at him during his,
they kicked it out.
Whatever that shit was, confirmation. She got kicked out. They wasted all these resources. The judge threw this trial out the first time. Now they want to spend more money to try to make it on trial again.
Kick it out because they want to set examples. They want the press. And this is what fucking infuriates me with the goddamn press. You should have been doing your job the whole motherfucking time. You should have been investigating and researching who, what, when, why, where, and how. You should have been doing all this bullshit instead of saying it's a joke, instead of saying it's goddamn cute, and now you want to get mad because he after your motherfucking ass. But he never liked y'all from the beginning anyway because the way you reported on him. So now he after y'all, so now everybody want to get mad and get upset and shit. And it's like, well, dog, y'all are part of the problem too. Yes, it is the American public, but you're a part of the problem too, because you're not reporting the news, you're not reporting facts, you're sugarcoating shit and making shit sweet and painting these beautiful stories and making Trump voters sound like they just these poor things that they just made a bad mistake. No, report the facts.
White House also stops a plan for companies to report worker pay by race and gender, which would have helped a lot of people find out if they're being underpaid for being black or being a woman. But
right.
That's part of white supremacy, is to make sure you don't know that shit so they can pay white people more and you don't have to know.
No, not unless you're in HR.
Sheriff David Clark resigned as a sheriff, but then he tried to join Trump's administrative shit, his office, his administration. But word on the street is that he's been pushed down a couple times because people don't want him in there. So I don't know what he's gonna do with all them pieces of flair he got for his fucking uniform, but he ain't got no job at the moment.
Somebody pick up, he'll be a spokesperson for some white supremacy people.
All right, some of the shit I don't care about.
They love niggas that hate niggas.
All right, let's get into some lighter whiter news. Employees at Jessica Biel's kid friendly restaurant in LA sue the actress, claiming that her and her business partners withheld nearly $500,000 in tips. Mm-hmm. That's right, Karen, you gotta go off screen for this.
No.
Too intense.
I'll be back.
9 employees at her restaurant accused of withholding nearly $500,000 in tips. The name of the restaurant is All Fudge. AU Fudge. I don't know. That must be French. Have filed a lawsuit against Bill and her four business partners, claiming they have never received tips from the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Charged clients, even though they charge clients for private events.
You know,
so they charge the client a tip fee, and then you work, and they just don't pay you the tips.
Right. And mm-hmm. You know they're trying to pass, well, they didn't pass, but I think they did pass a law, and it's kind of up to the restaurant discretion, where more companies are starting to do that pooling thing, and then they're making them actually take some of that money and give it to the back of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And people are upset about that because the thing is, like, the back of the house complaining that the front of the house can walk out here with cash. Motherfucker, I don't get paid $10 an hour. Are you going to give me the difference if I don't make minimum wage? No, bitch. Then no, you don't get my fucking money.
Right. The group of disgruntled employees describe themselves as young adults new to the workforce and new to Los Angeles who are ill-prepared to deal with the violations of their rights in the workplace.
And that's why she hired you, probably.
According to court documents obtained by Blast, Al Fudge charged a 22% gratuity to clients who held private events at a West Hollywood eatery, but employees say that money was never passed down to them. The lawsuit claims the owners blamed the glitch on converting the private event gratuities to a single manager, but they say they still didn't get the tips even after their manager was fired.
Because I had no intentions on giving y'all that money.
Alexandra Desage, the former director of events at All Fudge, gave a deposition and stated that every private event customer that she spoke with believed that the tip would go to the staff. Additionally, she said she cannot remember a time where a client paid additional tip directly to the staff. Desage says that she confronted co-owner John Rollo, saying he believed it was against the law for All Fudge's customers to pay gratuity and then had a restaurant fail to transfer gratuity to employees who had direct contact with the customers. She said he responded by saying, "I don't think you understand. Don't worry about it." Okay. Yeah, don't worry about it. Another employee, Jamie Aronson, said she questioned the general manager about the practice and was met with a similar response. She said the GM told her not to worry about it. It's all good. The customers are far more likely to be okay with 20%+ if they think that amount is going to the employees. So basically,
but it's not.
It's not. But you're saying that, but this way we can get a higher percentage to not give them. Neither Aronson or Desage are plaintiffs in the lawsuit. Additionally, the group says they are owed $31,549 from state mandated break periods, which the bosses refuse to let them take. The group is seeking additional $1 million in punitive damages. In addition to Bill, All Fudge is owned by four others, including Barry's Bootcamp, CEO Joey Gonzalez, Kim Mueller, author of the children's book All Fudge, stylist is Steve Stanley, and Monica Sanders Weinberg, the daughter of the Westfield Shopping Center's founder. All these rich motherfuckers, and they ain't trying to pay these people their tips. The restaurant was opened in March 2016 and sells itself as a restaurant friendly to both parents and their kids. There's a marketplace that sells baked goods to go and Honest Company products and a monitored children's play area. Jennifer, for real? Justin Timberlake did not pull out Janet's titty for this.
Oh, no, he did not. And moonwalk his ass on off the stage.
Mm-hmm. He did not cornrow his hair to deal with this shit.
No, he did not.
New York Post reports that a councilman is resigning after his secret furry life has been revealed.
Oh, what's wrong with being a furry? Because it's not always sexual. People assume it's sexual, but it's not always sexual.
I don't know, Karen. Sounds like he got himself in a hairy situation. Say what you want, but I bet he's an animal in the sack. A Connecticut councilman is resigning after his profile on a website catering to furries appeared on social media. But the outgoing first-term Democrat insists his animal costume fetish has nothing to do with sex.
Right. You know, there's some people that just like to dress up like that. Like, people go to cosplay and all that stuff because it's a form of cosplay for a lot of people. It's not all people just to make the jump to sexuality, but it's not always sexual.
What if it is, though?
Well, that's his business if it is.
That's what I'm saying. Why he can't do a job and fuck Care Bears on the weekend?
He sure can, and My Little Ponies have a good time.
He can't balance the budget and then balance a stuffed duck on his penis. Come on, guys.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. New Milford councilman Scott Chamberlain, who was up for re-election, is stepping down after a town resident posted several screenshots on Facebook of the lawmaker's profile on private website for furries, a subculture of people who don animal costumes, sometimes for sexual gratification. In response to information about likes on a personal page by Councilman Chamberlain, I have called for his immediate resignation from the town council and any other appointed boards and commissions, Mayor David Gronbach said in an email to the Post. As public servants, we are held to a higher standard, and Mr. Chamberlain's apparent posts do not meet that standard. How?
People kill me with that.
The profile on
he's not hurting nobody. I mean, so if he dressed up as Zelda and went to do something, would we still be just out? Because to me, a costume is a costume, in my opinion. But for some reason, this is too far.
Mm-hmm. The profile on SoFurry.com, according to Dansburg News Times, which first reported it on Thursday, includes a list of Chamberlain's preferences ranging from loves to likes to tolerates to hates in order to customize content sent to users. Chamberlain, whose avatar resembles a fox named Gray Muzzle, insisted to the newspaper that his interest in the subculture stems from an appreciation for animal characters like Tony the Tiger and Mickey Mouse. You think I have 50 Shades of Grey Muzzle come out?
Oh, yes!
It has nothing to do with sex. It's an interest in cartoon animals, he said, but the profile also indicated that Chamberlain tolerates rape, prompting at least one commenter on the Facebook post to question the lawmaker's ability to lead. Okay, is that like rape play? Like, is that some type of kinky?
You know. Now,
why is that on the site? Why?
I don't know.
I mean, is that like? Because your kink doesn't have to be everybody's. I get that two consenting adults might set up some sort of rape fantasy scenario.
Correct. That's not the same between that and the real rape.
Yeah, I would need some clarification on what exactly tolerating rape means. I would like to know.
Oh, he just told him he just horsing the round. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry, y'all.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him spank.
Yes!
That's why he had to hoof his way out of that position.
All right. I'm no, I thought I was drinking. Are you drinking too?
No.
What's going on over there? I'm shaking the table. Shaking the stable.
All right. Ask him what kind of shampoo he like, that mane and tail. Shout out to the old people that know what the hell that is.
All right. But seriously, guys. Anyone is free to pursue any hobby of their choice. However, that doesn't mean they can represent me as an elected official and endorse the things that I seemingly endorse on that page. One comment read, Chamberlain did not immediately return a message seeking comment Friday, nor did he respond to a follow-up request for comment from the Danbury News Times on Thursday. Peter Mullen, the town's Democratic chairman, said Chamberlain told him previously about his interest in science fiction and adult literature, but said the Facebook post, which has since been removed, was troubling. Literature is one thing, but this kind of stuff takes on a whole different level, Mullen told the News Times. Grombach also said he also had no idea about Chamberlain's interest in furries. The outgoing lawmaker, whose written resignation was expected Friday, according to Grombach, claims someone must have set him up. Come on. Bitch set me up. Creating an account on the website just to obtain private information on him. Okay, I guess. But Chamberlain also acknowledged writing that he characterized as a soap opera on another website for adults only. I'm saddened by this whole thing, he said to the News Times. I've always tried to be positive in my public life and work hard and donate my time to people in New Milford. Oh, man. Well, there you go, guys. Gotta be careful messing with the furries. Let's see what else happened. This is the best swimsuit. Lena Dunham rocks bold bikini, revealing her curvy figure and derriere tattoo.
Ah, not the butt tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
I like her in this white people news, doing white shit.
Curvy figure too.
Stay here in these lanes. Don't be doing that other shit.
Somebody said, what curves? She's shaped like a refrigerator on my Facebook page, but I don't agree. I feel like she does have some curves, guys. Just not exactly everywhere you expect them to be, but I feel like y'all be more mean to her because y'all know she a racist.
Yeah, she gets no country. She gets no country.
I won't lie, at this point I enjoy posting it just to see people be hypocrites. I'm just like, yep, go ahead, do what y'all do. She never been shy about sharing revealing photos of her on social media, and on Tuesday Lena Dunham did just that as she flaunted her curvy form in a brightly colored bikini set. The actress, who also showed off her tattoo on her derriere, gave a front and back view of the swimwear on her Instagram stories. Front view even better, this is the best swimsuit for my curvy bod I've found. Go to @shophotlava. So it sounds like an ad.
Come on.
The 31-year-old's two-piece featured a sports bra style top and a high-waisted bottoms. Lena said of her red and orange set, she posed facing away from the camera for her second snap, and she tagged the brand and its founder, Rachel Finley, who goes by the handle at Instastake.
This is a big-ass promotion.
Yeah, it's an ad.
Come on.
And they wrote about it like it's not, but it's an ad. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like we've all seen Lena Dunham naked enough to know what it looks like. So, if you're into it or if you're not, I'm not going to shame you or talk bad about you. Okay, guys? That's your personal decision. All right? Let's leave all the body shaming out of this, guys. This isn't the first time Lena's found her uniquely placed orange tattoo. Wait, where's the tattoo? So she got a tattoo on her butt. Oh, yeah. It's right here.
Yeah, she got tattoos on her.
What a weird.
Eyes on her back.
But that one's bright orange.
Yeah, she got one across her back and on her shoulders.
And
on
it's
hip.
It's a sign for the Odeon, which is a real life eatery in Tribeca. She captioned in, because I'm a deranged daughter of Tribeca, the Odeon sign now lives on my ass for life. What a weird tattoo. I guess do what you want to do.
Because it must be plans. I don't know
what is that. I guess
it's an Odeon.
It's a restaurant in Tribeca.
Okay.
So she got the that's like me getting a local restaurant put on my Cafe South, all on my nutsack or whatever.
Don't do that. Don't.
That's such a weird.
Don't do that.
Design. No. Well, good for you, buddy. Good for you. You're just out here living life.
Yeah. If I get a restaurant tattooed on me, I fucking own that bitch.
In addition to the unique art, she also has a tattoo on her torso, featuring the illustration by artist Langley Fox of skateboarder Lauren Thornhill Caswell. The HBO star chose to have the artwork done above her scarf from her endometriosis surgery she underwent in March 2016. That's a disease where the lining of the uterus grows outside the uterus. She was diagnosed
she said that stupid shit. Mm-hmm.
What?
Then yeah, she said something real stupid afterwards. I forgot what she said. She said something really
stupid. She said a lot of stupid shit. Yeah. And so, I mean, come on. What are we gonna go through it all today?
I'm being nice. Nah, yeah. I'm just gonna let her be white.
Yeah, man. Look, she like y'all seeing what she got on social media and stuff. She like to take a lot of pictures and get tattoos and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, let the white women get their lives.
That's white news. That's the kind of news I like to see Lena Dunham making.
That's my whole point. Stay away from other shit.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh wait, what was this supposed to be in guest stories? Kim Kardashian poses in nothing but boots in a tree and faces backlash for the ill-timed post. Yeah, I can see that. Hurricanes just came through. I can see that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is a problem.
That might be 60, problematic.
Yeah, 60% of state of Florida without power, dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 90% of Key West. Yeah, that's a problem.
I mean, the good news is they probably don't got internet to see it, so.
Yeah, other people telling them about it, yeah.
Kim Kardashian knows how to break the internet. She's back doing just that with a newly released image from a fashion shoot with acclaimed photographers Mert Alas and Marcus Piggott. For the image, which will be featured in a new book from the pair, colloquially known as Simply Mert and Marcus, the 36-year-old is seen climbing a tree and wearing nothing but hiking boots and black stars on, you know, Instagram. You can't show nipples. Over her nipples.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where she probably, like, been took this picture, but it's still right. A terrible timing to release it.
Yeah, I mean,
they probably took this picture months ago because I like a photo shoot, a book, and they were like, yeah, put this one out. Somebody should be like, no, not that one.
First of all, man, this is that always trust photographers gone wrong, because photographers will have you doing some stupid shit. What the fuck could this possibly be for?
They'll be having you standing on your pinky toe twirling and hula hooping. That's hot. No, bitch, I can't. No, I'm not doing all this bullshit for 3 seconds of a photo.
Like, girl, listen, the idea we got for this shoot is the wild. And what does that mean? Put on these hiking boots, take off all your clothes, stand in a tree.
Why?
What are we selling? What is a book?
Right? How many pages in it?
Anyway, people brought up that, you know, this is probably the wrong time for this. Someone put up, hey guys, forget Hurricane Harvey and DACA ending and pay attention to me again. It's me, Kim K. Someone put the Robert Downey head shaking gif and put, Kim, not today.
Oh, I love people.
No, oh, man.
I'm here for the jokes.
Yeah. I mean, it's climbing a tree during a hurricane, man. It's not really. This is bad time.
You're going to get that work. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're going to get that work.
I still love her very much. The Bachelor's Nick Vale breaks his silence on split with fiance Vanessa Grimaldi at the 5-month engagement.
Oh, this is a previous winner?
I guess.
You know, I don't keep up
with none of these white folks. I don't know if these niggas have to get married. Like, what are the rules?
No, they don't have to get married. I don't know if they have to sign things saying they got to get engaged. I don't know what the rules is. It's a happily ever after.
Well, he broke the silence. I know that much.
He talking.
He say he loves her very much. The reality star 29, who found love on season 21 of The Bachelor, noted that his former flame 29 is still part of his support system and said he's trying to stay positive in the wake of the pair calling time on their 5-month engagement. Speaking to Us Weekly, he said, I still love her very much. I'm not afraid to say that. My friends, my family, and Vanessa are still very much each other's support system. We're trying to do that, and it's challenging at times, but we still recognize that we're there for each other. It's obviously easy to get insecure and feel bad about yourself, but you get in your head about things when things aren't working out for you. The former Dancing with the Stars contestant said he's trying to stay busy, and despite the heartbreak, he still believes in finding true love. Nick added, I mean, of course, right? And again, I was still lucky enough to find it with Vanessa. Nick's statement comes after Vanessa broke her silence with a heartfelt social media post. The special needs educator, 29, took to Instagram to share her feelings with an introspective social media post. The Canadian reality star bared her heart in her caption, writing, it's okay to feel broken, it's okay to cry. While she leaned on a supportive friend in the accompanying photo. The caption continued as Vanessa tenderly reminded herself and her followers, it's okay to lean on a friend. Her caption finished on a hopeful note, promising in the end it will always be okay. While the dating show winner tagged her friend Adriana Inglesey in the photo, though Vanessa is mourning her relationship, sources close to the Bachelor duo says the breakup has been a long time coming. It was a mismatch from the start. Their friends knew it would never last. She's super fun, bubbly, and outgoing. He's more of a serious personality and more introverted. She would try to bring him out of his shell, but she's just not as comfortable. He's just not as comfortable in big groups. Nick and Vanessa released a joint statement confirming their split on Friday. So wild. But I guess, you know what? We probably are at the point where if something happened, we'd have to release a joint statement, Karen.
Oh shit! We probably got to that point.
We probably are.
Oh shit! Not the joint statement.
I didn't even think about it. I mean, I'm not.
What? And them amicable differences.
Right, we would have to explain to our people.
Right, we'd be like, hey, half of y'all, Roger gonna start his own podcast, I'm gonna start mine.
Well, I'm gonna tell you like this, Karen, if I find out you cheating, I'm not gonna release an amicable statement. my statement's gonna be full of shade and hate. So I don't know how they figured it out, but I don't have a publicist. I'm just gonna be drunk on Facebook Live telling all the business. Like, she fucked that nigga, y'all. She did it. I loved it, her. Alright. A joint statement. They probably just was never in love. It's probably just all
yeah,
PR.
A conscious uncoupling. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have a conscious uncoupling.
When it's all PR, you can do that.
We're going to treat the moon, treat the fans like cheering.
Be damned if I got a broken heart sitting here talking about, well, we just went our separate ways. Things happen, children. Nope. I'm going to be up here telling all your business. Black came in, drawers was everywhere on the floor.
Lord, not on the draws ceiling was fan. Everywhere.
What was happening, y'all?
I don't know. You let me know what was happening.
Who are these? It was six niggas in my bedroom. I got their government.
Six niggas get in the house.
I got their licenses. I'm going to be telling all the business. All right, guys. It's time to do sword ratchetness. Get out of here.
You'll be Snapchatting and everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it live when I catch you. That's what it's gonna sound like. A woman sentenced for...
Well, I know not to do that. No, I'm good, y'all. I leave first.
A woman sentenced for sword death of boyfriend. Apparently, a woman back in June killed her boyfriend with a sword. Tulsa County Court records show 38-year-old Mika Thompson has pled guilty to a lesser charge of first-degree manslaughter. For reference, she was originally charged with second-degree murder. Thompson received a 7-year sentence. That's it.
Oh, somebody say lifetime stories. They're gonna be Snap, a black guy who tips style.
Mm-hmm. Nah. In all fairness, I'm not killing nobody. I ain't going to jail for no. Like, you cheat on me, I'm not going to jail. I guess I can never know because I've never been in that situation. But I'm not going. I don't even compute that shit. Like,
Chadwick Boseman gonna play you?
I guess. I don't know. But I'm not. I mean, it won't be because I snapped and killed nobody. I know that much. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, snapped, he messed up a car or something at the best. I'm not.
He messed up a car.
I mean, it's it'll be sad, but not sad enough to go to life in prison for no bullshit.
Mm-hmm. I already told you I'm gonna cry some tears. I'm gonna be heartbroken. I'm trying to tell you, I'm gonna tell you she can have you. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna take them $100 bills and wipe my eyes and sign the bottom of the paper.
Yeah, I don't believe you. I know you'll get me? I know you'll get violent, so.
Oh, you think I get violent?
Just saying, I ain't gonna put your business on the street, but you know, I remember there was a time I could have died out here in these streets, y'all.
PSA, I ain't never put my hands on him. I wonder, because you know they make jokes. I be beating you. You know, people already think you're a house husband, and I just work all day, come home, beat you to death, and make you do the podcast.
Just saying, guys, pray for me, okay?
I come in, demand my food cooked. I don't remember birthdays, anniversaries, so hey.
Listen, y'all know Karen has a temper, okay? Don't let this nice fool you, all right? But I'm not out here disrespecting, though, so y'all had to worry about it. I got us, audience.
Because the house husband knows his place.
That's correct. I don't care about the rest of this stuff. What am I doing? Oh, police arrested a suspect armed with a sword, bow, and arrow barricaded inside his house. To which I say, what the fuck is Elon James up to?
Come on, Elon.
Elon James White out there trying to be the Black Arrow.
Ain't he though?
With a sword, motherfucking bow, and an arrow in his house. Come on, man. What just happened? Montvale, is that in California?
I don't know.
I don't know where this is at. Oh, it's Washington. Okay, so he drove all the way to Washington to have a standoff with the police. Thinking he was trying to get justice. All right, man, we out of here, guys. We'll talk to y'all Saturday for a feedback show. It's probably gonna be long as fuck.
Oh, that's why it's gonna be 2 weeks. No week.
Well, we took a week off, but we didn't do any shows. But
people were still.
We got to do, you know, people still wrote in all that stuff. Anyway, we'll see y'all Saturday. Unless you're premium, then Balls Deep will be Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably end up doing Nerd Off Friday afternoon. So we'll talk to y'all then. Until then, I have to open up this loot crate. Wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Hold up. I gotta open up loot crate. Hold up. Until then, this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. A monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchise. Go to lootcrate.com/TVGWT. Enter code TVGWT. Get $3 off of any new subscription. You do about a 19th. At 9 p.m. Pacific time, and you can get this box for this month. Mm-hmm. Which is robotic is the theme. You got 6 days to get this. It's gonna have franchises that you love, like Star Wars, Star Trek, Aliens, and Blade Runner. And one lucky subscriber gets a mega crate as well. And literally it starts for like less than $20 a month. You can get 6 to 8 items of licensed gear. So let's open up one right now. This is the regular loot crate that you can get monthly. It's not the DX or the wear. Let me open this bad boy up. Oh wait, where my scissors?
That should be behind you.
Yeah, I got it. All right. See what we got in here this month. You guys can eat your hearts out. Your little jealous hearts. Oh, okay. I already see some goodies up in here.
Oh shit.
First of all, they got we got a shirt. Start with the shirt.
Oh, let me put this on now.
Ooh, this looks like it is Legend of Zelda. A Legend of Zelda shirt.
Ooh, it is shaped like Link.
Yeah, it's shaped like Link, but it's all made up of like a screenshot of the game.
Yes.
That shit is dope.
Yes.
That is dope. And it's the old school Legend of Zelda,
the 2D.
Then we got a collectible, not a toy, for the Ice King and Gunter, or the Nice King and Gunter, for guys who watch Adventure Time. I don't know if you guys still watch Adventure Time.
I do.
That's the Nice King and Gunter.
He's a goddamn lunatic.
That's going on my shelf.
He's a lunatic on the cartoon.
He just want a princess to marry, Karen. He's a nice guy.
I know he's not. He's a lunatic.
Mm-hmm. That's because all these princesses want thugs.
Apparently.
And a Lord of the Rings color champagne glass. It's a color change champagne glass. So I guess you pour champagne in it and it changes colors on the actual glass. Fancy.
It's
the inscription from the ring on the glass.
Death, flames, dog.
Oh, okay.
I told you all this stuff. We're gonna have to get some away soon.
I ain't giving these niggas shit.
We gonna give y'all some stuff. Don't believe him.
You come by my house, I ain't answering. And then what is this? This is sometimes they include prints. I don't know if you guys are into comic books and stuff, but print is basically like a 8x11 or whatever the hell a sheet of paper is. Piece of artwork, you can buy a frame for it, put it on your wall, put it on your window, stuff like that.
That's dangerous because a lot of times when you go into these places, that artwork be so goddamn gorgeous. For you know, you've been on spent your money. I don't even buy it because I'm like, look, if I buy the shit, I want another copy. We're gonna walk around. I'm gonna see another Wolverine. We're gonna walk around. I'm gonna see something else. And particularly if you go to like the cons, a lot of the artists there, they have drawn for a lot of the big name comic books be there, and their work is so beautiful, y'all.
Yeah, it's a Lord of the Ring ink print. And it's one of those big ass trees.
They was walking on. They was riding on, my bad.
So you can like frame it, you can put it on put it on your wall, stuff like that. And if you guys look around, well, you guys can't look through the camera at this room, but you know, you can see behind me kind of, we frame a lot of stuff. We put a lot of stuff on our walls. We have the Negro Con stuff. You can order frames from Amazon. Yes,
Star Wars,
and they're normally not that expensive. You just put it on your wall, hang it, and now you got a cool little nerdy room in your house as your office. So, all right, man, that's it. Now we'll talk to y'all later. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.